The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today is Monday, May 6th. As I said, Kathy's out. I'll handle the duties. Good morning to you. At least 40 people died when an airliner burst into flames while making an emergency landing at Moscow's Sheremetyev Airport on Sunday.
A terrifying video.
Two children were among the dead, and multiple others were injured. Video shot from inside the airport terminal showed large flames, billowing black smoke coming from the plane as it landed. Later video showed a distinct trail of flames on the tarmac behind the plane, presumably from fuel that leaked out of the Sukhoi SSJ-100 regional jet as it slowed to a stop. And as Steve was saying in the video, you can see people bailing out of the aircraft.
Horrible.
And the rear end of the plane was on fire, so a bunch of people didn't make it out. A spokeswoman for Russia's investigative committee said early Monday that 41 people were killed. The numbers are kind of sketchy right now, but it's in that ballpark. Officials with the airport said the aircraft had 73 passengers and 5 crew members on board, so the majority of people didn't make it out of there. It's terrible. The flight was en route from Moscow to Murmansk in northwestern Russia when it was forced to turn back because of technical problems. The airline said that the engines were burning after the aircraft landed, but the sequence of events before and after the fire started were not clear. The SSJ-100 is largely used in Russia as a replacement for outdated Soviet-era aircraft, but also is used by airlines in other countries, including Armenia and Mexico. And this is the second fatal accident involving the plane. In 2012, a demonstration flight in Indonesia struck a mountain, killing all 45 aboard. Investigators with the Special Victims Unit are talking with the woman who they say left her toddler in Kensington Saturday morning. Police are still investigating the circumstances around why the child was left there and have not said what charges the woman will face, if any. They say the child is safe with family members. Police say the girl, around 18 months old, was found around 7:30 a.m. Saturday.
Jeez.
In the 3100 block of E Street in Kensington. Police say the toddler, who appeared to have abrasions on her face, was left with a stranger who called police after the child's mother didn't return. She was taken to the hospital for evaluation, but police didn't know her identity. Police released the child's image on Saturday evening, and with the public's help, they were able to identify the girl and her mother. Neighbors in East Street and Clearfield say that they are still stunned by the whole ordeal. This is terrifying. Police said a 29-year-old man has died after he crashed his car while driving away from gunshots with a bullet in his head Saturday night.
Yeah.
It happened around 3:30 a.m. on the 500 block of West Cumberland Street. Police and firefighters were called to the scene for a report of a car on fire following a crash. Police said the driver of the car that was on fire got into a fight with an unknown gunman just about a block away. The gunman opened fire, shooting at least 10 shots. The driver tried to speed away from the scene after being shot, ultimately crashed into a fence. Police said the impact of the crash caused the car's engine to catch on fire. Officials took the victim to the Temple University Hospital. He was pronounced dead a short time later. So far, there have been no arrests made. And then finally, the 40th Annual Broad Street Run was held yesterday. The 10-mile race spans the length of the city. Each year, the race draws thousands, and racers say that's because there's no run quite like it. Even though each year the route is the same, racers said it never gets old, and this year the rain was a little bit unique. However, it seemed to be embraced by a lot of the runners. The men's winner of Sunday's race was Daniel Kimoy, and the women's winner was Susan Jarotich. So congratulations, who all took place.
Was that a repeat for the male
winner?
Oh,
I don't know.
I think it was, right? Second year in a row winning.
That guy won?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Very good. All right, let's do sports. Ball sacks are yummy. Well, Kawhi Leonard scored 39 points, including a three-pointer. Was it 1 second left?
A minute left.
All right, and that helped the Toronto Raptors beat the Sixers 101-96. And even the Eastern Conference semifinal series evened it at two games apiece. Kyle Lowry added 14 points. Raptors rebounded after consecutive losses to reclaim home court advantage. Jimmy Butler scored 29. J.J. Redick had 19 for the Sixers, who are trying to reach the conference finals for the first time since Allen Iverson led them to the NBA Finals in 2001. Game 5 tomorrow night in Toronto. Zach Eflin pitched 7 strong innings. Rhys Hoskins drove in a pair of runs, lead the Phillies to a 7-1 win over the Washington Nationals yesterday afternoon at the ballpark. Cesar Hernandez added 2 doubles for the NL East leading Phils, who have won 6 of their last 9. Eflin gave up 1 run on 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks. He was coming off his third career complete game in his previous outing, a win over Miami, and is 5-0 with a 1.05 ERA in his last 5 home starts. Up next, Phils is 3-game series in St. Louis against Cardinals. Vince Velasquez is going to get the start in the opener, and we'll go up against Mike McCullough for the Cards. Game time is 8:05. And in the NHL, St. Louis scored 2 goals 33 seconds apart in third period, knocking Dallas goalie Ben Bishop out of the game. And the Blues beat the Stars 4-1 to force Game 7 in that second-round Western Conference semifinal series. And that game will be tomorrow night in St. Louis. That is what I have for you this morning in the sports. Welcome back.
Yes. Job, same to you. Yes, well done. Appreciate it. Pulling double duty today.
Yeah, ready for a week full of good stuff. In fact, we have a new Word of the Week prize, and I love it. It's a trip. We always love it when we can do this. Trip for two to the world premiere, Steve.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
God damn, I'm so excited for this movie.
Saturday, May 18th at the TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood. So it's a fairly quick turnaround. You got a little over 10 days or so to get yourself set if you do win this. And Godzilla King of Monsters opens May 31st, rated PG-13. Does look pretty damn cool, man.
What can you say? You got Mothra, you got Rodan, you got Ghidorah, and the whole mess is there.
Yeah, yeah. So we will give away a trip to California, to Hollywood to see it. So get yourself set for that. I'm looking at a lot of stuff to give away today. That's a good problem to have, man. So we've got Primo Hoagie stopping by today. Is apparently National Hoagie Day.
It is.
They're coming by. They're bringing some goodies to give away. We also have our friends from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa.
Hoagies and massages.
No, we get both of them here in our studio. And we will be giving away free massages or facials for mom because Mother's Day is coming up. So listen for your chance to win those. And then we have a screening tonight. Pokemon Detective Pikachu. And I'm sitting on a bunch of tickets. So let's take 5 callers right now and give some to you. It's at 7:30 at the UA Riverview. So keep that in mind. 215-263-WMMR. 5 callers right now. We will give you those tickets. So get on board. Give us a call right now. Let's do that thing. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a second. More giveaways with the stupid question. I got a lot of entertainment stories from over the weekend. Avengers Endgame still just absolutely gigantic, breaking records. And I'll get you the numbers when we come back. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hi, Grandma.
Hi, thank you, Grandma. So we're going to do a stupid question this morning, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets for the 2019 Brew Fest, which is at Mount Hope this Saturday. Interesting question. I'm wondering if I've asked this one before. So you know the peace symbol?
Yes.
Was inspired by semaphore letters. N and D. N is in Nancy, D is in Dave, whatever you want to say. So the peace symbol was inspired by the semaphore letters N and D. What did N and D stand for? 215-263-WMMR. What?
You might have asked it, but I don't remember the answer.
I don't remember.
By the way, this is from a trivia game that Nick gave me a while back. It's called I Know. And so there you go. There's my source.
Well, now I want to know the answer.
Hopefully it's true. 215. What did the N and D stand for in the semaphore letters that inspired the peace symbol? I will go through some birthdays while we are awaiting your call. Today is Monday, May 6th. We'll start in the world of music and Foo Fighters. There is a birthday It is Chris Shiflett, the guitarist. He is 48 years old. One of the lesser known band members. I mean, he's known, but you know, you got Dave and you got Taylor who kind of take the spotlight as far as
very dynamic.
I don't even know the bass player's name. Marissa, do you? You're a big Foo Fighters fan.
Nate Mendel.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris has a podcast. He's been going, like, he goes around the country, a lot of Nashville stars.
Does he play with the Taylor Hawkins band?
Chevy Metal.
Yeah, Chevy Metal, which is a great name.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he did. Yeah.
Yeah. And then this guy that looks like Robert Plant. The three of them are actually really fun to see live if you ever get the opportunity. It's like seeing your uncle's garage band.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, so,
in a cool way.
Sounds awesome. I'd love to see my uncle's garage band.
Chris Shiflett is 48 today. George Clooney is 58 years old today.
Yeah. They were running all those Ocean's movies yesterday.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. You know, which one of them is not good? What is the one that
12.
Is? 12, yeah, not good.
12 sucks. In fact, I only watched... Oh, well, of course you would say. I only watched, to be honest, maybe the first quarter of that movie, and I'm like, this is not good. Not even close.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't get
any
better.
But 11 and 13, I loved.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're a lot of fun.
The rest of 12 is pretty much trash.
Yeah.
And, of course, he worked at Edna's Edibles for a while.
Yeah,
was he a handyman? Was that his deal?
Yeah, I think he was.
Is that what he did? Okay.
Yeah.
Or was he her lover?
But he's been... No, he's not a lover. He was a handyman. A lot of great movies. Up in the Air, Gravity. Oh, Brother, We're Out There was still one of my favorites.
Dude, I love it.
Yeah, Tomorrowland is fun. He's 58 today. Tony Blair, former British Prime Minister, celebrates his 67th birthday today. Don't know what he has planned for today, but...
off to Chuck E. Cheese.
Maybe he's off to Chuck E. Cheese.
Charles Cheese in England.
67 today. Another great, do you see this one, Casey?
I do.
From the world of music. Have some music ready to go. Oh. And he's getting ready to wrap up touring altogether. And he's 74 years old today. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bob Seger celebrates his birthday. Oh, you're doing that. Jesus.
I know you're weary.
No. We can't do it.
No.
It just, there you go. Thank you. You killed the room.
Worst song to put on at a frat party. Now, this is a good song.
This is a great song.
It's a great album.
Bob Seger has just got loads and loads of great songs. What a great songwriter and performer.
The last album I actually got of his was, I think it was called American Storm. And it's one that has like a rock on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, that came out, man.
Is that like the 80s?
Late 80s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's just got a lot of great songs. And, man, he can hit some of the notes as well vocally. When he's live, you can hear him really nail them. So,
this is a great song.
Yeah, this is a wonderful song. Bob Seger, 74 years old today. Happy birthday to you. It's also Willie Mays' birthday today.
Wow.
The Say Hey Kid.
Say hey, Willie.
Yeah, he's 88 years old today.
I don't want to say.
Yeah. One of the all-time...
Sick of saying it. Get the hell out of here.
The all-time greats. So, happy birthday to him. Actress Adrienne Palicki.
Oh, yeah. She's super hot.
She's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
Yeah. She's on The Orville.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe she is.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think she first came to popped onto my radar because I never watched Friday Night Lights. This came before him.
Yeah,
But I went to... I took my family to see G.I. Joe Retaliation. And I'm like, who is that?
Hello.
Uh-huh. And Steve, she's also in John Wick. She's a hit woman.
You find out what happens when you violate the code of the Continental.
That's correct. She does do that in that movie. She was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Really good. And had a long run with another guy. They were going to break them off into a sequel series, and that never came to be. Hmm. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is returning for its final season.
Okay. She's 36 today. And then the last birthday, and help me if I pronounce this incorrectly, Gabori Sidibe.
Gabori Sidibe?
Gabori Sidibe. Thank you. I needed help.
Precious.
That's her, yeah. She was also in The Big C and Tower Heist and is 36 years old today.
And Empire.
Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. The peace sign is inspired by the semaphore letters N and D. And what do they stand for? That is the question. And I will go to Mike for the answer. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yo, bud. So what do the N and D stand for, semaphore, and made the peace sign?
Nuclear disarmament.
He is correct. Ah!
I did not know that.
Hang on a second, Mike. I didn't know that the peace sign came out of the protest against nuclear weapons. So, nice job, Mike. We are going to set you up with a pair of tickets for the 2019 Brewfest at Mount Hope. It's this Saturday, May 11th, and presented by the PA Renaissance Fair, a celebration of all things beer. At Mount Hope Estate and Winery in Manheim, PA, you have to be at least 21 years of age to enter. Visit PARenfair.com/brewfest for tickets and information. Well, we begin with the box office on Monday mornings in Avengers Endgame. Still dominating and actually managed to cross a $2 billion mark at the worldwide box office this weekend.
Just astonishing.
The film has garnered $2.189 billion in just 11 days, the fastest that any film has managed to do so. And it is now the second highest grossing film of all time. It surpassed James Cameron's Titanic, which earned $2.187 billion, and the only other film that has earned more than Endgame is Cameron's Avatar, which snagged $2.8 billion. So this is poised to pass that up.
Well, to put it in perspective, right, Avatar took 47 days to get to $2 billion.
And this took 11. So,
yeah.
Endgame grabbed an estimated $428 million globally for its second weekend of release. An estimated $146 million of that was in North America. Elsewhere at the box office, The Intruder came in second. To give you some perspective, it made $11 million.
Well, that's close.
Then you had Long Shot, Ugly Dolls, Captain Marvel was fifth, followed by Breakthrough, The Case of La Llorona.
The horror movie.
Shazam, and then you had Little and Dumbo rounding out the top ten. So still big moves at the box office for Endgame. Iconic writer and director John Singleton's private funeral is set for today. Crazy, man. Still wrapping my head around that.
Still can't believe it.
Yeah, the Boys in the Hood and Higher Learning director died at age 51 last week, suffered a massive stroke after being taken off of life support. The funeral is planned for a very small, intimate goodbye for family and close friends, EW reports. The ceremony will not be open to the public. However, his family is planning a larger memorial in the coming weeks. This week, Tribeca Film Festival organizers added a free screening of Boys in the Hood on Friday, May 3rd. According to the organizers, they wrote in a statement, John Singleton accomplished what all creators strive to do. He entertained, but also inspired generations of audiences and artists. He will also remain credited as executive producer of FX's Snowfall. Production on season 3 is almost finished there. Sopranos star Annabella Sciorra. She will testify against Harvey Weinstein at his upcoming Manhattan sexual assault trial. Yeah.
I don't know who she was.
She is a gorgeous actress, and she was.
She was side action, right, for Tony.
Tony's girlfriend for a little while, and they met in therapy, but man, is she a knockout.
I think she's also in the Tony and Tina's Wedding movie, and she's also in.
They made a movie?
Jungle Heat. Yeah. Jungle Heat? Is that what it's called?
Jungle Fever?
Jungle Fever, yeah. Yeah, yeah, they made a Tony and Tina wedding movie.
Did they?
I believe they did, yes. Okay. And then she was also in Jungle Fever, that's right. See if I'm right on that, Nick.
Okay.
Probably not.
Sciorra publicly accused Weinstein of raping her in 2017, in a 2017 New Yorker article. The article is credited with helping to launch the Me Too movement. Sources tell Page Six that she will be one of a handful of witnesses that Justice James Burke has ruled may testify at the trial in order to establish a pattern of behavior.
How many cases are in? So is it just the one with all of these separate ones on?
I don't remember.
It's too much.
Yeah.
There are too many of them. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff going on over in Europe. Scotland Yard is investigating a whole other aspect of the Weinstein story.
Weinstein was indicted on charges that he forcibly performed oral on production assistant Mimi Halayi in 2006 and raped a lover in a Manhattan hotel in 2013. The case is slated to go to trial September 9th, by the way.
I don't think she was in Tony and Tina's, but she was in Jungle Fever.
There you go.
But Sebastian Stan was in Tony and Tina's. And
there we go.
Of course, he's Bucky.
That's why I made the mistake.
You were thinking about Bucky. Yeah. But maybe you were thinking about Mila Kunis.
I was thinking of Tony and Tina's wedding with the Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, that's right.
So this is for Casey.
The guy with the metallic arm.
The top six contestants of season 2 of ABC's American Idol performed live for America's Vote last night.
He's shaking his head no, Preston.
What? Yeah, I just, you know, I disagree with America.
You disagree with America?
Yeah, they voted off two of my favorites over the last 2 weeks. And
damn
like,
you, America.
This guy, Wade, is still part of the whole crew. So I just don't buy it. But Madison Bumgarner. I'm a fan of hers.
So. Okay.
Yeah. She the girl that looks like Shakira?
No.
Okay.
Becky. Wait, what'd you say her name was?
Madison Bumgarner.
Baumgartner?
Yeah.
There's a Madison Vandenberg.
Vandenberg, sorry.
Yeah, that's a pitcher.
Madison Bumgarner's a pitcher.
He's a good pitcher, though.
Yeah. Sorry,
he has not been voted off.
Vandenberg.
He was actually in Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Yeah.
With Sebastian Stan. So, Casey.
Yeah.
That's like honestly, the pitcher is an American Idol.
Dude, he's amazing.
Give us your real assessment. So, any of these people worth a damn?
Madison Vandenberg is a very, very, very powerful singer.
All right.
There, you know, the other ones I just don't really understand. Like this girl, Lacey, she's pretty. She looks like Shakira, I guess, Marissa. But there was another girl who was a little bit younger and she's a little bit more country who I thought was a better. So I don't understand America. You should hear this guy Wade sing. I don't understand it. I just don't get it.
All right.
This guy Lane is He's pretty, and that's
well. It's a popularity
like it.
Contest, you know that. That's what happens.
But it's weird because Wade is like, you know, just looking at him, he's not like he's a big dude. Like he's a big dude. But sound
so that's why he's winning.
Well, no, you're saying like popularity kind. I don't know what's like so great about him, and then his voice, it sounds like he swallowed a bunch of razor blades. I don't get it, man.
You get wrapped up in it, and I appreciate that. I don't see it as something as substantial as BTS, which is my Korean boy band.
right, to me,
that's now you're talking talent.
That's
you see those guys dance? All right, so question, they're down to four now?
Yeah, who got voted out last night? Okay. I had to stop watching to get to Game of Thrones.
Okay, so I guess Jeremiah Harmon and Lacey Booth got voted off.
Okay,
the pitcher got voted off, right?
No, the pitcher's still there. Okay.
Madison Vandenberg, Lane Hardy, Alejandro Aranda, and Wade Cota remain, and there are three episodes left.
So did you see the new competition that's coming out, Preston? And this one's based on songwriting.
No.
And it's got your group of quote unquote experts, and it's another one of these things, and gee, they just keep cranking them out and they keep sucking. Just unbelievably. But American Idol East was first to the dance.
It reminds me of the one, Preston, that you knew the guy on it. He was like a record executive or something.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Walk, yeah.
But nobody knew who they were. So, like, nobody knows who these writers are. So, the commercial starts with, like, Joe Jonas singing a song, and then it, like, rewinds backwards of the guy who wrote the song that everybody loves. But I can't imagine it's going to do well.
Who knows? All right, I have other news for you. The situation, you know, from the Jersey Shore, the Fyre Festival fraudster are already there, and now Donald Trump's former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, is up next. This is not the casting of a reality TV show. This is federal prison.
Though they should do it.
70 miles from New York City, where white-collar and D-list scoundrels can do some time and play bocce ball while they're there.
It's really a nice facility.
Yeah, it's medium security, it's not heavy duty. But it's funny that these three are in the same prison together. Cohen is due to report today to the Federal Correctional Institute, Otisville.
Otisville?
That's from a Superman movie.
I was going to Animal House.
Start a 3-year sentence for tax evasion, lying to Congress, and campaign finance crimes. Tucked in the lush countryside south of the Catskill Mountains, Otisville is actually two federal facilities with a total of about 800 inmates, a medium security prison where former NFL star Darren Sharper is serving a 20-year rape sentence.
If you're going to prison, we'd like you to consider Otisville.
And a satellite camp for nonviolent offenders like Cohen. There, he'll be serving his 3-year sentence with the likes of Jersey Shore star turned tax fraud convict Michael the Situation Sorrentino and Fyre Festival's Billy McFarland.
This guy, I watched the second of the Fyre Festival specials. So this Netflix did one, and Hulu did one. Hulu's is better, by far. And they made a point, Preston, while he's awaiting trial for this whole fraud that is the Fyre Festival, he engages in two other fraud. major frauds.
He can't stop.
He can't stop.
The Netflix one was produced by some of the PR people that were in charge of the Fire Festival, so they weren't as
candid.
They didn't come down as hard.
Yeah,
but the I think the other one was actually Amazon Prime, Steve. I think the second one was not.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, the second one is better.
The U.S. Bureau of Prisons, which runs the federal prison system, has been tight-lipped about Cohen's placement. The agency denied a reporter's request to tour the Otisville facility and declined to comment for this particular article. Alex Trebek received a standing ovation as he accepted an Emmy Award for Jeopardy. Trebek, who of course announced in March that he has advanced pancreatic cancer, said he worried about winning as best game show host. He was concerned that sympathy might play a role in voting. He had said when contenders should be judged on the merits of their work, but Trebek recalled that he lost last year after he had major surgery for life-threatening blood clots. Since that didn't get him a sympathy vote, the 78-year-old Trebek said that he can live with the honor. It is his seventh Daytime Emmy, including a 2001 Lifetime Achievement Award.
Unbelievably classy. I would have played it the other way. I'm not as classy as Trebek. Had I lost, I would... You gotta be kidding! Do you not know I'm dying?!
Now, after
admitting
on Good Morning America last week that he had experienced bouts of extreme sadness since being diagnosed, Alex sounded an upbeat note at the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network's event at the Los Angeles Zoo. He had said, as you all know, survivorship is measured starting from the date that you are diagnosed with cancer. And on that scale, my gosh, I'm a 62-day survivor, he said. Give me a break. But he said, but I'm working on it, and I promise you this, that if I become a 22-year survival, you will all be welcomed at my 100th birthday. So he's hanging in there. Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade, is reportedly moved out of her parents' Bel Air mansion to escape the media presence amid her parents' alleged involvement in the college admissions scandal.
I think she moved in with her auntie in Bel Air.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Olivia is doing well. What's going on with
her? We're worried about her because it doesn't seem she has a lot going for her.
With her parents is still upsetting to her, but she is also trying to focus on her own life, as Source tells People.
She's also studying so hard.
Her parents still face a lot of media attention. There is paparazzi at the family's house every day. It's very stressful for everyone. Olivia has decided to move out for now. She doesn't want to be followed when she leaves her home, according to the source. She's also reportedly looking to rebuild her brand after multiple sponsorship deals fell through in the wake of the scandal.
Yeah, she lost a couple of big ones. I think, what was it, Sephora? Was that one of them, or Ulta?
Yeah, I think it was Sephora.
Yeah, she had her own line, and that just fell out completely.
I don't know how many Instagram followers she had before this scandal began, but now she has 1.4 million of them, and my guess is she'll come out just fine on the other side.
Oh, yeah, her 1.4 million followers don't care about anything.
They do not care.
Now, if they did care, she would have less.
Honestly, though, if I were her, I'd move away from the cosmetics and get into the ever-growing industry of tactical knives and glasses. Because that's what I always go for on Instagram.
That's what you buy?
If it says tactactical, I'm there.
What about glasses? So
you've seen the commercial.
No,
I haven't. If you want to be serious out on the battlefield, you need you need tactical sunglasses.
What do those do for you?
They make you look like a 70-year-old Jewish person at a wedding.
They're that big? Oh, my God. That's great.
Well, in a story from March, she had 1.3 million. So this has helped her grow 100,000.
Well, when did the story break?
Early March, right?
It was in March.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, you know, if she had half of that at this point, I'd be concerned about her future, but she'll be just fine.
She just bought a medical degree, so she's good.
This is really weird and messed up and disturbing, if it is indeed true. Famed Disney voice actor Jim Cummings, who voices Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, has been accused of sexually abusing his ex-wife and abusing animals, according to the blast.
What?
This is accused by his wife. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. Jim and Stephanie Cummings were married in 2001. They divorced in 2011. They share two daughters, Johanna and Lulu. Since their divorce, she claims in documents obtained by the blast that he has engaged in physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, including but not limited to death threats, rape, and various sexual deviant behavior forced upon me without my consent, she says.
If I may. This could be the reason Eeyore is always so sad.
I might. I don't
there
know.
There are secrets.
But this guy's been doing the Winnie the Pooh voice for a long time. I remember seeing ages ago because he took over for the guy who originally did it who passed away. And he does a spot-on version of it. And he was. I remember seeing an interview with him talking about how important it is to keep the integrity of that voice and as is. And so he seemed really...
And he mentioned nothing about banging animals in that.
No.
Oh.
He's remained dedicated to the craft of this. So when I read this morning, I was like, well, that's really disturbing
to
hear.
The original guy was a character actor that you'd see all over the place. Had this, you know, this... He always played sort of the sweet older guy, the you know, that demeanor. Mm. Honestly, there was a point at which... When they changed, I couldn't even tell it was a new guy. He was doing it so spot on.
Absolutely. As Amy Schumer nears the end of her pregnancy, she feels fans' pain. She joked on Instagram, oh, yeah, does it feel like to everyone like I've been pregnant for a long time? Yeah. It must be getting annoying to you all that I'm still pregnant. She's been struggling with hyperemesis throughout her pregnancy. She's got really, really violent, violently sick. She hasn't gotten violent. She got very violent. She locked up her liquor store the other day.
Kate Middleton had the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So she feels she's been pregnant for a long time. Throughout her 8-year stint of HBO's Game of Thrones, Sophie Turner tells Marie Claire Australia that she often suffered from mental health issues due to pressure that she felt from above. The 23-year-old said, I've experienced mental illness firsthand, and I've seen what it can do to the people around the sufferers as well. She added that her body has changed since joining the production to play Sansa at age 15. And she said, my metabolism suddenly decided to fall to the depths of the ocean, and I started to get spotty and gain weight. And all of this was happening to me on camera. And to make matters worse, she said that fans and studio executives pressured her to lose weight, so she turned to therapy. She said everybody needs a therapist, especially when people are constantly telling you that you're not good enough and you don't look good enough. I think it's necessary to have someone to talk to and to help you through that.
Was she, so what's the deal with her? Is she naked a lot in the series or no?
No.
Okay. She's wearing like armor and stuff?
No, she's ever been naked. No, no.
Okay.
She's a lady.
Whoa.
She's not an armor-wearing, battle-hardened maven or anything like that. Turner, who married Joe Jonas in a surprise Vegas ceremony after the Billboard Music Awards Wednesday, has spoken out about her history of depression and body shaming before. In April, she had told Dr. Phil, people used to write, damn, Sansa gained 10 pounds, or Sansa needs to lose 10 pounds, and it was just a lot of weight comments, or I would have spotty skin because I was a teenager, and that's normal, but I used to get a lot of comments about my skin and my weight and how I wasn't a good actress.
So are you on the Star Wars movies?
No, stupid.
But She's very pretty. She's a great actress.
She got a Jonas.
Yeah, she got Janet up with a
Can't
Jonas.
Can't be a pig and land a Jonas.
Isn't that what a Jonas.
The old saying.
The old saying, the old meme. Can't be a pig and land a Jonas.
I guess so, sure. Why not?
It is now.
All right, and then one last story. YouTube now counts 2 billion unique monthly users worldwide. The company's CEO, Susan it's Polish. I don't know how to pronounce this.
Villanova.
Wojcicki, something like that, announced.
That's it, though?
2 billion.
2 billion unique.
Unique.
Users monthly.
I'm just trying to think. All right, there's 8 billion people on
Carry the
planet.
One.
Well, there's roughly 360 million in the United States.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is a lot of people.
Yeah. 2 billion is a lot. So YouTube is also capturing people's attention for longer. YouTube was viewed on TV screens more than 250 million hours per day.
How many hours do you...
As of March 2019.
Preston, how many hours a week do you think you spend... denying the new YouTube TV service when you ever watch you right?
Yeah, that
free
clip.
Trial, free trial. Free
no!
Right.
No thanks. Click on no thanks.
No thanks.
I have on, as far as my screen time with my phone goes, do you guys get those reports?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tells you what you have daily. I guess I'm around 2 hours altogether.
That's not bad.
A day. Yeah, I don't overuse the phone at all.
I mean, I haven't lately, but I was at about 4 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man. But every single week I would get the diagnostics. It was going down. So I was like, all right, well, I'm getting better.
Yeah. I had Matt O'Donnell that tweeted out because they did ABC did a story on, you know, your screen time. And he put it into perspective because he was doing 4 hours a day as well. He's like, that's a round of golf that I could be playing as opposed to sitting on my phone for 4 hours.
The idea, though, is that. You know, oh, well, it's 4 hours. I'm playing Candy Crush and Words of Friends. And, I mean, that's – actually, I don't play Candy Crush at all, but Words of Friends is a little bit of it. You know, it is – it's email. You know, like, a lot of it is work-related.
It is. My wife, though, and I this is the truth. I know that after a while you do it enough and your brain sort of gets hardwired because she plays Words with Friends, and another game that is a word game all the time.
No kidding.
It's like we're sitting in the car.
Yep.
You know, watching TV. She's watching TV and playing the game at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, when I go up to kiss her in the morning when I'm leaving, you know, she can't get to sleep. I'm seeing the glow of the phone. It's like, man, she's playing it all the time.
Yeah. Yep. I told you I was getting ready to play. I was waiting for a game to load on the PS4. And it was taking a while, so I got on my phone and I started playing a crossword puzzle. So I'm playing a game while I'm waiting for another game to load. That's pretty sad.
Going back to YouTube real quick, there are really populous countries, including China, where it's banned. So China has...
Straight up banned. No YouTube at all.
No YouTube in China. Wow. So that's got 1. However many billion people. So you got to subtract that from the planet, you know, the planet's population, and then...
that's a lot, man.
Factor that in, yeah.
I will say, though, because I had to have my wife's car serviced on Friday, so I had to sit in the waiting room, and having the phone there was just a huge, huge help.
You're exactly right. I was thinking the same thing. So much of, like, for example, waiting in a doctor's office, or just, you know, all of that stuff. When I spent a night in the hospital, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, during our vacation, because that's what we do, President. We like to have procedures done. We're on a vacation, but that the night actually seemed to be much quicker because I had my iPad with me, and it was, you know, you feel sort of connected.
Yeah.
I still pick up the magazines in doctor's offices.
Do you?
Because I don't read them that often. I'm like, yeah. Sure.
I always think they're crawling with diseases. Sick people have been here.
Of course you would think that.
Did you treat leprosy here?
That's my pedicure manicure thing.
Okay. Magazines?
No phone.
Yeah. I don't know what you would have done here, but I was there for a while. I was just on my phone, and this older guy walks in, probably about 70 years old. 1, 2, 3, 4 people in there, and he comes walking in. Hey, why is it so quiet in here?
He starts
talking, right?
No.
I made the terrible, terrible mistake.
You engage.
Of looking up and engaging. Next thing you know, he and I were buddies.
Uh-huh.
And he tells me the history of AT&T. He worked for AT&T for 40 years.
Yes. Then about a year and a half ago, I started urinating blood. Thick blood. And I was very concerned. Oh, no.
Why? Why? And I would look down at my phone, and that's when cellular technology. I was like, oh, no. I'm his buddy now.
Casey, what you should have done is you should have gone, I'm sorry, because he was talking about cell phones.
I got to take this.
My landline is ringing. And then you just hold up your hand with the pinky and the thumb.
Oh, no, I just met the nicest gentleman. We're having a conversation.
Yes.
I did.
And then you move your hand over, say hi.
Yeah. I stood up about 10, 15 minutes in. I stood up. Oh, you know, I got to go check on something. And then I stood at the service desk in another room. I just stood there. I was like, just.
Please tell me you're here to be euthanized.
Yeah.
Sir, can I help you? No, I just want to stand here for a minute. Would you pretend like we're talking for a moment, please?
Sorry, I have to go wait over there.
Yeah.
I stood next to the windshield wipers for another 20 minutes. I was like, it's so much better in here.
It happens.
Felt terrible, but. You
know. All right, well, I'm ready for clips if you guys are.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Woo! You won, Preston.
Thank you.
You said the secret phrase.
HBO's Chernobyl turns the Soviet nuclear disaster into a 5-part miniseries.
Oh, I want to see that.
Jared Harris plays a leading nuclear physicist who has to oversee the government's response. In this clip, Jared talks about a surprise the cast and crew got when they filmed on site at a reactor that's just like Chernobyl's. Here we go.
I think there's about 20 of these plants built around the Soviet Union, all exactly the same design as the Chernobyl plant. And we shot on site there. And supposedly all the nuclear material had been taken out, but rather cryptically they told us that we weren't allowed to shoot there on like a Tuesday before 4 p.m. because they were still taking the material out.
That guy, Nick pulled up his picture because I didn't know him by name. That guy's a great actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff. In the second Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr., he played Moriarty. You know,
he's great.
The nemesis. He was also in The Crown. He plays
King George.
King George. Yeah. And he was in Lincoln. I think he played Grant in Lincoln. He's just one of those guys like, oh, that guy. But this looks really compelling.
Well, I think I told you, Preston, on the Oculus Go, there is a program, and I'm sure you can get it on the PS4 VR as well, but it is a tour of Chernobyl, and you walk around. It's in different segments. You're in the sarcophagus that they've, you know, where they've sealed it up.
Yeah.
You're down by in the actual reactor room, in the control room where everything went south. It is amazing to just sort of virtually stand there and look around, and you're at Pripyat too. They show you the city that was built to show how amazing, you know, Soviet productivity was, and you have, you know, this amusement park that was never used. It's just an amazing, horrifying story.
Chernobyl premieres tonight at 9 on HBO. Let's do the next one. All right, so how do you pronounce this? Is it Tuca and Birdie?
Yeah.
Or Tuca and
Maybe
Birdie.
Tuca.
T-U-C-A. It stars Tiffany Haddish and Ali Wong as animated birds. So maybe Toucan soon.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The series from the same producer of BoJack Horseman is about life in your 30s as two best friends. In this clip, Ali Wong explains what made this series an easy choice for her. And here we go.
It kind of does mirror us because Tiffany's like out there and about and she's like fun and is like not repressed. And I'm kind of a recluse and I'm a homebody. I'm like the boring person who is at home with my husband and my kids.
Shut the fuck up!
All right, so Tuca or Tuca, I don't know, and Birdie.
Why learn the name of something you're not going to watch?
I'm with it.
Tuca and Birdie came out on Netflix on Saturday, by the way.
All right.
See it? It is there. And that's what I got for you. The Entertainment Report.
Exciting.
This morning. Man, we have a lot going on today as far as giveaways. Hannah Stone is stopping by today. We'll do some giveaways for Mother's Day. That's right. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Today is National Hoagie Day, so Primo's is coming by. We'll do some giveaways there. But in the meantime, I need to give away these movie passes because we have a screening tonight. It's Pokemon Detective Pikachu. And let's give you, we'll take five callers, 215-263-WMMR. The movie is tonight, 7:30 at the U8 Riverview. Opens nationwide on Friday the 10th, this Friday. So let's have you go see that movie tonight. Once again, 7:30, you need to be there by 7 at the U8 Riverview. Five callers, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to set you up. We'll take a break. Come back in just a moment, and we will slalom through whatever things we got to get through to make Monday go bye-bye and move on to the rest of the week. But we'll come back in a second. Stay with us.
You know that yearly family picnic, the one where everybody shows up to hang outside, enjoy good food, great friends, and plenty of cold beer. And while it might be fun to watch Uncle Joe do a keg stand, MMR's Family Picnic has eight kick-ass rock bands providing the entertainment. Shinedown.
Cause it's about to get heavy.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. The Struts. And Evanescence. Plus GA performances from Fozzy, Bad Wolves, The Glorious Sun, and Serafo. Bud Light presents MMRBQ 2019, Saturday, May 18th, BB&T Pavilion, WMMR.com for details on $25 lawn tickets. Hit up the Rock Shop for this year's MMRBQ t-shirt presale. Order now in time for the show. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time today. I'm seeing the words, and then when they translate from brain to mouth, there's a little hiccup there.
Yeah.
So I'm working on it.
I couldn't tell if you didn't bring it up.
Well, no, I've had a lot of flubs, but right. Nonetheless, par for the course. It's okay. The Kentucky Derby was over the weekend, by the way. I watched it on Saturday. My sister, thankfully, had texted me. She's like, "You're watching the Derby? It's about to start."
Like, okay. What? Yeah, like, you said, "Oh my God!" Because you.
I totally forgot about it, right. And so I tuned in just as the jockeys were making their way out of the locker room, getting ready to head to the mound. So it was perfect timing. I do like watching the Derby. My family, the bulk of my family comes from Kentucky, so it's a rich history in our family. And I was, while watching the horses as they brought them out, the first one name-wise, because that's how I pick my horses.
Yeah.
Cool name.
Yeah.
My stepsister, though, Susan, she knows who sired who.
Really?
What track they raced on, their home area, their breeding, all of it.
That's hardcore.
She knows all of that
stuff.
Does
that help?
I mean, with the betting, yeah, supposedly.
Is she good at it? Like the betting and stuff like that?
I don't know if she bets that often or not, but I know that she knows all the history and the trainers and all that stuff. So I just pick a name.
Me too.
And the first one that popped up, I'm like, Maximum Security. I like that
one.
I didn't know it was the favorite.
Oh, man.
Had no idea. So my wife and I pick, you know, a horse, and then we'd see what ends up happening. I forgot who she had chose, but the horse fell back. It was number 5. But anyhow, so we watched the race, and Maximum Security wins. Cool, exciting, race is over. I go about my business. I'm doing my dishes, and I'm in the other room, and like 10 minutes later, she's like, they still don't have a winner. I'm like, what are you talking about? They already interviewed the jockey and everything. She's like, no, that's under review.
Oh, man.
There's some kind of violation. And so then my attention, I'm like, okay. Ooh. I'll come and sit down and watch and see what goes on. And sure enough, they overturned it.
22 minutes. 22 minutes of review.
Yeah. So they had everyone lock and hold on to their.
I think the objection was filed right away, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah. You can't take your ticket until the race is official. You can't take your ticket and go cash it
in.
So they you know, the windows are closed and everything, and then they wait till the official results come in.
Now, and from what I understand, Preston, it turned out that was actually two guys in a costume. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, that's what the controversy was.
Okay.
Oddly enough, they could run
they
faster than horses.
They ran faster than horses, which is an amazing thing.
Country House was the long shot and ended up winning, and that's a first time in the history of this race that this has happened 145 years, and this is the first time it ever happened. And by the way, second longest long shot to ever win the Kentucky Derby, 65-1, Country House. And it was the last one to be loaded in, if I recall correctly.
Really?
It came from the complete outside all the way in and ended up winning. So, Steve, from what I understand is, and you know, after watching the review, I could see, okay, yeah, it looks like it really happened. The Maximum Security had the rail, was riding the rail the whole way because it was the lead horse, and that's where it's going to be the shortest distance, so you ride right along the rail there. And as they were coming out of that last turn, he shifted over outside a little bit and essentially cut off the horse that was next to him. And I guess that's not allowed in horse racing.
Well, reading it a little bit further, it caused a couple of the other jockeys to step up on the saddle, which...
he had to pull back.
That's right. So that's wind resistance in a critical part of the race.
Yeah.
And so a couple of things cascaded. To me, seeing it initially, it didn't seem like that much.
Yeah.
And then when they explained it further out, there were a couple of issues. It was sort of a ripple effect, and that caused a number of the competitors to have to change their deal. Like you see in regular racing, in car racing, a bump here and there doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter, really.
But here, it's a much bigger thing.
Remember in Seabiscuit, there's a scene where the horse comes over into his area, and Tobey Maguire's character, after the race, is like, he fouled me!
He's just
freaking out.
Yeah.
Over the whole thing. Well, it seems like that might be a similar type of thing. You're not supposed to do that.
I guess the biggest thing here is that the horse that fouled him was a horse that won. So I'm sure that this had to have happened before, just not by a winning horse or a winning jockey, right?
What, in the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, this is the first time ever that the first place winner was disqualified.
You're saying if it's happening to, like, 11th and 12th place.
Or even second or third.
You may not even notice that. But however, because this was the horse that was in the lead, that it caused this issue. So, by the way, what the position of the horse that came in, which was what, something house? What was the name of it again?
It was Country House.
Country House. Okay, so Country House. You know, how much was that paying off to anyone who had that in the race?
Well, 65-1, but so if you $100 bet, that's
$6,500. Yeah.
You know, but the real payouts are in the trifecta, supertractus, and stuff like that.
So
I'm not that familiar with
the
that
the owners
stuff.
Themselves, the horse, the trainers, and the owners, they made $1.86 million on that. So
Jesus.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's nice.
And then afterwards, really where the money is made is on, like, siring and stuff like that. So even though Maximum Security didn't officially win the race, they're going to make a ton of money off of siring that horse.
Was Maximum Security undefeated up to that point?
Yes. This would have been its fifth consecutive win,
and
undefeated. And the jockey, what was interesting, because they interviewed him right after the race, before the controversy started.
Yeah.
And he was talking to the reporter about how when they came around that corner, the horse got spooked. It's a young horse.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a 2-year-old or something like that. And he was concerned about that. So I don't think it was the jockey's fault.
I think the horse
just got, you know, a little bit carried away.
Anybody in your family ever been to the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, yeah. I've never been.
That's on my list.
Yeah. You know,
I'm not a huge, I want to go to a giant sporting event type of thing. I think I probably can skip Daytona, and I don't even know if I ever need to go to a Super Bowl. But I'd really like to go to the Kentucky Derby at some point.
But what I wanted to see if anybody listening has ever had a win taken away from them after they won, whatever it may be, a victory of some sort that was taken away from you after further review or whatever it may be, or all of a sudden you're disqualified.
And
Yeah. I remember somebody had told me one time that they had, it was in a league, bowling league, had bowled a 300, and somebody had apparently complained that they hadn't waxed the lanes or something like that, and they technically didn't allow them to mark it a 300 or something.
No kidding.
Yeah,
oh, that's BS.
Yeah, totally.
I was a diver, right? So you could be disqualified.
Deep sea or competitive?
No. Springboard diver.
Okay.
And you could be DQ'd for certain things. And there was this guy on my team. I think his name was Sam. And that I was a better diver than he was. And on two particular occasions, I didn't have my strongest meat, and one,
wait a minute. I thought you meant M-E-A-T.
No. It's a diving meat.
Okay. Yeah, my dong wasn't all this. And then you got Dairy Queen.
I'll call it match. How about that? I didn't have a particularly strong match, and he...
I'm not a particularly strong swimmer.
He was really, really close to actually beating me, and one time I had a terrible dive, right? Like, a dive that was worth, like, a 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And one guy... The way you're judged is that you have, like, 5 judges, right? And they all do their scores, and they take out the highest score and the lowest score, and then they keep the remaining 3 scores. And one guy jokingly gave me a 9.5 just because he knew he was going to get tossed anyway. And because he did that, I ended up beating Sam, because had he given me, like, a 3.5... You know, it really would have affected
the scores. So he was the one who got screwed.
So Sam got screwed out of that. And then there was another time.
Did he contend it?
No. I mean, because the score got tossed anyway.
Oh,
so
it
didn't really make a difference. But it did make a difference, because I ended up getting the highest score, which was, let's say, a 4 instead of, you know, what I should have gotten, which was like a 3. And it all makes sense when you take the scores, you multiply them by the degree of difficulty, and that's how you end up with a total score. And there was another time where I wasn't a good twister when I was diving, and I was doing a full twisting, like, flip or whatever it was, and I twisted one way, and then I untwisted. So I didn't do a full twist, so technically I should have been disqualified.
And you won?
And I won.
All right.
And this poor guy, Sam, all he wanted to do was just beat me one time.
This poor guy...
Oh, sorry, Sam.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't even know how you can do that. I don't even know how you can twist halfway one way and then retwist backward. But I did it.
You did it.
And I should have been disqualified.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was curious if anybody's had that taken away from them. I mean, like this, because they finished the race. This guy believes, I have just won the Kentucky Derby. This is it. This is the big dance. And all of a sudden... Nope. You know,
sucks.
Yeah.
All that money. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
I'm going to let me go to Jordan. Hi, Jordan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, so I had a soccer coach. We were undefeated all season. We used to win games like 8-0, 8-1. We were in the championship, and we had a free kick. And the ball's supposed to make one full rotation before another player can touch it.
Okay.
Well, it made the rotation, but the ref didn't see it. And told us that he called off a goal that we had.
Okay.
And then we were still winning at this point, 5-2. Ugh. My coach ran on the field and punched the ref in the face.
He punched the ref in the face?
My God.
And then there were fights in the stands. So one wife threw coffee in the other wife's face. We had 9 cop cars and ambulance, and we had to forfeit the championship.
No! So you guys clearly were the dominant team, and you ended up blowing the championship because you're... coach incited a brawl.
Correct.
God, that would suck.
My God. And
So you guys, you were probably going to win the game. You were up 5-2.
Yeah. Yeah.
What
mind you,
idiot.
We were 9 at the point.
You were 9? Like...
You were 9 years old?
Yes.
It was yeah, so but you've lived with it since then.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, yeah. And the fact that a coach would punch a ref in the face over a 9-year-old soccer game.
You're going to die.
Oh, my God. But
in
what...
his defense, he was Italian, so Europeans take the game very seriously.
They do. True. That's still no excuse.
But what a story for the other team.
Yeah.
Dude, when I was 9, this other coach came over and punched a ref in the face, and we ended up winning the championship, even though we were going to lose. Oh, that's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, and the All other right. team was dancing around like they...
Sure. Losers.
Legitimately won.
So. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right, thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Have a good one.
You too. I'm going to go next to Joe. Hi, Joe. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, bud?
So, my daughter's softball team, they were the underdog team throughout the whole season.
Yep.
And when it came down, they made it to the playoffs, and they won the playoffs. They won the championship game. When they were ecstatic. When it came to hand out trophies, they got runner-up trophies because they didn't have a winning record.
What's
throughout
this?
Throughout the original season.
I don't understand.
That doesn't make any sense.
So the playoff bracket is supposed to be, if you make it into the playoffs, you know, you advance through the playoffs and then you beat the championship team, you're the champion.
Right.
Well, they went by the regular season and the amount of wins instead of... going by winning the championship.
Oh, really? So the league went by whoever won the most games during the season is deemed the champion, even though they have a championship game.
Yeah, and we didn't know that.
Well, that's...
Like, my daughter
that's
was
that's tomorrow. Still... Why even have a championship game?
Why
then?
Even have a playoff run?
Why that? Even that's have a so sport? Why even have children?
Why participate?
That's just ridiculous.
Trophy handout when they did the ceremony and stuff, you should have seen all the parents. They were flipping.
Wow.
It was crazy.
How old? What's the age bracket here?
It was 10 to 12.
10 years old?
Yeah. Because at a certain point, like.
Somebody should have been punched in the face.
Did we not learn from the soccer games?
You're right. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, at a certain point, like it does start to matter, like wins and losses, and then they have playoffs and stuff like that. And that's why, like, when people get like all bent out of shape when there are no playoffs and there are no championships and every game is tied or whatever, that to me is a little bit. Well, it's all like little league sports when you get
right.
super pissed off about stuff and start punching refs like
right. Yeah, you know what? When does that happen with when it's adults? Does it? It's more the kids and the coaches.
Oh, it tends to get away from you. But, you know, but it, clearly here, I mean, did anybody see any footage of the jockey after the title was taken away from him?
Yeah, I did. And
was he storming around?
No, he wasn't mad. I mean, well, I'm sure he was upset, but he had reiterated. He's like, the horse got spooked. The horse got scared. His young horse came around. And the crowd was making so much noise as they came down the stretch. That it kind of freaked him out, and he had said that from the beginning. So,
but it was weird having everybody out on the track waiting for so long to figure out what happened, and then the horse that eventually won, his jockey standing there, and he doesn't know if he's going to win or not, and then lo and behold, they become the victors, and that's an odd way to win too.
It's
a terrible way to lose, but it's also an odd way to win.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Rich. Hi, Rich, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You rock.
Thanks, Rich. What's up, buddy?
All right, listen, I was coaching a little league team a few years back, and 10, 11-year-olds, I guess, 12.
Of course.
Our one guy hit the home run over the fence, man. He's the first home run of his life. He's happy as crap, you know?
Yeah.
So he rounded home, grounded third, going home, and team comes out in all this excitement. We're going to win the game. He gives him high fives. The coach and the other team says it's no good, not a home run, because he was touched before he touched home plate.
Because one of his fellow teammates – touched him as a celebration while
like
he's rounding the bases, and that's
before he touched home.
Before he touched home, that is considered a technicality.
What a miserable prick!
Home run away, man! Unbelievable. End the game.
Did it stick?
Oh yeah. I guess it's not who you know. You know,
he should have been punched in the face.
Is that a rule?
I guess. I guess maybe for your league. That's is that?
Yes, man. I don't know, but
that's
it's
insane. Well, because
in Major League Baseball, you should pay attention to like. runners passing one another on the base pass. But for 10 and 11-year-old kids, I think it's all right if a kid gets a high five on the way home after hitting a home run.
Well, also, I mean, they usually get high fives from the first base coach and the third base coach.
Yes, but I guess, in the majors.
Yeah.
And a little pat on the butt.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, no, but I'm serious. That's in Major League, right?
Yeah. That's what he was saying.
I got one more thing to say.
Yep.
You suck, Troutman.
Okay.
By the way.
Fair enough.
So
it
was the USA softball team, I believe, and it might have been in the Olympics where the one woman hit a home run, out of the park home run, and like missed third when she was trotting around the bases or something like
that. Well, I can see if you don't touch all the bases, right?
Yeah, but I don't know how you, when you're trotting around, like, how do you miss third base? And the opposing team, they contested it. So that's how that ends up happening, is like somebody, they missed it and they contested it. And so when the next girl was up to bat, they throw it to third, they touch third, umpire calls her out, and like, so that run doesn't count. They ended up losing the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of
technicality.
Losing on technicalities, or even winning, to Nick's point. So the winner of the Kentucky Derby, it's still a win, but it's like, it's kind of a win.
Well, so same thing. Like, you're contesting the girl hitting out of the park home run. Why are you contesting it? Because she missed third base. Like,
I know.
You know what I mean?
It's funny, Steve, because they spoke to the jockey of Country Horse, and it was right after the decision was made. And the reporter goes, he said something along the lines of, does this feel any different, this victory, you know, that that it came about this way? And the jockey's like, I've never felt this before, so I don't know. It just feels good.
It's not like I've won it before. Yeah,
and
yeah.
All there is to it, so, you know.
And then the horse came over and punched him in the face.
The other horse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maximum Security. Punched him. I'm going to go to Chris. Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Yeah, bud. So we were talking about this Kentucky Derby. So championship or a title that was taken away from you after you felt that you won.
All right, so... I guess it may have been like when I was 10 or 11 years old playing Little League baseball.
That seems to be the age range, doesn't it? Yeah.
We were the absolute worst team in the league. I think we won maybe like 2 games the whole season, but it's a league where every team makes the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So we ended up winning, like getting to the championship against the first place team.
Wow.
Who we despised.
Yeah.
So the championship team, or the championship game, is best out of 3. So we won the first 2 games, but there's a rule stating that every kid has to play at least 2 innings.
Okay.
So after it was all said and done, one of the kids' moms came up to the umpire and said, hey, my kid didn't play 2 innings. So we ended up forfeiting that game. And then the next game, we ended up losing the championship.
So the mom kind of was doing the right thing, just saying, you know, or she was complaining that her kid didn't get.
Yeah,
play.
I think that might have been it.
And then
because everybody pays to play in the league,
right.
So you know, she kind of says like, I just threw my money away almost, but
right,
you know, I don't understand why they just did that. Like, your kid was happy, you should have just, you know,
just shut up. Given their druthers,
I'll give you a C note if you keep your mouth shut.
The championship would have been a champion on the championship team.
Yep, he would have been a champion, but now he's hated and a loser.
Now he's hated and a loser. Wow. And eventually he'll be up on top of a building with a rifle.
Wow.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. It's like a parent parenthood.
Yeah.
This isn't exactly the same scenario, but when I was playing Little League, I was always, believe it or not, the team I ended up on up in New York was the Phillies. I was always on the Phillies. And we played against the Yankees. In the in Little League, we beat the Yankees, and at the trophy ceremony, we were first freaking place. Our trophies were smaller than the Yankees' trophies.
What? That's weird.
And it turned out that the guy who made the trophies, his son was on the Yankees. And it was a huge kerfuffle and scandal, Preston. It rocked East Northport.
I'm going to go to Marianne. Hi, Marianne. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. What's up with you?
So I coach CYO track, and a number of years ago, I was coaching the Penn Relay team, junior girls. I'll stick with the age range, 11 to 12 or whatever they were.
All right, here we go again.
I know, and which really sucks for those kids. So the girls with CYO track, they get a chance to run at Penn Relays, and they have a qualifying night a few nights before the actual, you know, real Penn Relays. So the top nine of, say, 100 and some teams get to go back. So my girls got the number one qualifying team that night, qualifying time that night, but they got DQ'd for getting the baton out of the exchange zone, which I still say was, like, a really iffy call, like, you know, from where I could see. But they disqualified then, and we didn't get to go back on Friday. And our qualifying time still beat the actual winning time on Friday.
Oh, man. Yeah, but if they faulted, you know, I mean, that's the rule. You got to hand that baton off before you get to the line.
Yeah, but they didn't fault is from what
you're saying they didn't fault.
That's what all of the. Now, of course, it was our parents that were saying.
all the parents on our team seem to suggest they didn't fall.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was a very subjective call.
Okay. Did she throw it to the next runner?
Go long.
Hail Mary.
Back 2 years later and won. So.
No, but it's still. Remember that? What was it? The Little League, the championships. And they found out that the quote unquote 14-year-old pitcher of one team was actually 38 and had nine kids in Honduras.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to find a few different specific examples, but it happens in golf fairly frequently where somebody will fill out a rules card. Incorrectly.
Can that completely F you up?
Well, they'll get into the clubhouse and have stuff taken away. And then, do you guys remember, and I was trying to find the exact one, but do you remember there was 2 or 3 years ago, somebody who's watching on TV saw a ball was dropped illegally, and then they got to the clubhouse, and that was taken away?
Yep. Steve, yeah, it's a very firm rule in golf. The golfer themselves has to keep their own score. And then at the end, they go.
No one else can. Just the player.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you are required to fill out your scorecard. And at the end, once you sign it, if there are any discrepancies on that, you're disqualified. You're out. And it has happened. People have lost full on championships because they wrote down the wrong number. They filled out and then they signed it. Boom. And
I think that's not done. Just penalized. Yeah. Disqualified.
Yeah.
I think that is a silly rule. I know it's a tradition.
Yeah.
Tradition.
And it goes back to a long, long, long time ago when they didn't have the technology that they have
today.
Right.
But everybody knows what you've done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, everybody knows what your score is because of the coverage.
You're not really. I mean, at this point, if you're doing it, it was a simple mistake. Yeah. There's no way you're trying to do it to actually beat the system.
Okay. Dustin Johnson lost the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach because he didn't do it correctly. And he was supposed to go to a three-way playoff hole. This was the one that I was thinking of. And it was supposed to be him and Bubba Watson and Martin Kamer. And he was not allowed to participate in the playoffs because he didn't do that correctly.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And that's a big loss, man. It's the U.S. Open. I'm going to go to Nick real quick. We're talking about the Kentucky Derby. Country House ended up deemed the winner because maximum security had a violation. It was found after the race was over. Everybody thought that he had won, including the owners and the jockey. So what was taken away from you? I'm going to go to Nick. Hi, Nick. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Gadzooks,
man. What's up?
So it was wrestling for the state tournament in New Jersey.
Ooh, big deal.
I was beating the crap out of this kid. I was up by like 5 points. So I brought him down to the mat. And the kid kind of flopped and fished out and, like, made it look like – you guys know what a slam is? Like,
yeah.
You bring a guy down too hard. Well, they called me for a slam. Like, the kid, like, I dropped him. The kid looked up and then fell and made it look like he was, like, knocked out, and they disqualified me. And I ended up taking sixth place.
So let me ask you something here, Nick. In these cases, I think that's one of the hardest things – you know, to call a pin when the ref has to get right down. It seems to me there's all sorts of opportunities to screw with the call and to do things like this kid did. And I mean, is that just understood that there are a lot of ways to screw around with how you're perceived and whether you've actually pinned the guy or not, or whether you're pinned?
Well, it's not even the part that's getting pinned. We weren't in a pinning situation.
Right.
If you bring a guy like down too hard on his head, it's like called a slam and they disqualify you for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like I brought the kid down. I mean, I brought him down pretty hard, but like he looked up, looked at his coach, and then like laid there like he was like knocked out.
Almost like sweep the leg, Johnny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No. That sucks.
Like, yo, I watched a kid in my son's last wrestling match ever. It is a hard sport to watch. This kid punched my son in the face two different times in between rounds. Nobody was watching.
Wait, in between rounds?
Yeah,
at the concession stand.
I was like, dude, he just wants a
pretzel.
That's all he wants. No, so the it's like 3 1-minute rounds or 3 2-minute rounds. I can't remember the time. But so when the round's over, you stand up and then you start the next round. So after the first round, I guess the referee looks to the scorer's table to, hey, 2 points, whatever. So when he did that, the kid punched my son in the face, and I was like,
I've been to wrestling matches before, youth wrestling matches.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of people in the gym at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody else saw it?
Everybody else saw it. The ref didn't see it. And then I actually said something to his coach about it afterwards, because I was like, yo, dude, because he didn't say anything to the kid. So the kid was never reprimanded, and I was like, okay. And then it went to after the second round, the kid did the same thing as they're standing up. He like, it was more like a, excuse me, as I choke on my own spit. It was more of like a push punch, but still it was to the face and it was totally illegal. And I was like, how did you not see this 2 times in a row?
Yeah.
And then coach, how are you not reprimanding this kid? I mean, the kid was mean. I was like, good wrestler, totally had an edge to him. I enjoyed
that. Sort of envied him.
Well, a little bit.
You should punch people too, son.
But it should have been at least a point.
Well, to Preston's point, the cameras, were people recording? No one had.
There's nothing you could do, dude. This is freaking 9-year-old kids wrestling or whatever, So there's not much you can do. But I did say something to the coach. I go, "What are you teaching your kids?"
You got
to
imagine that these coaches hear it constantly from people, so their natural inclination is going to be, yeah.
He did. He dismissed. He goes, attention. People get heated. I go, I know, but you're supposed to say something. When your kid is punching other people in the face in between rounds, you need to take him aside and go, dude, we can't have that. Like, because wrestling is supposed to be this honorable sport.
Yeah,
you shake hands. You shake the coach's hands.
You punch him in the face.
You punch him in the face in between rounds when nobody's looking.
Yeah. Listen, I know you're on the radio, but this is the real world.
How did he respond to that when you said you need to talk to this kid?
I don't even remember. Yeah, a little bit, but not like...
I don't need to do anything.
Why don't you and I go for a round? Let me go to Troy talking about wrestling. Hi, Troy. Good morning.
Big brown Guatemalan nipple.
Yeah.
Love them. What's up, bud?
A few years back, my son was wrestling in junior high or middle school, and he was his second year wrestling, and he got all the way to the championship, and... In the third round, he lost, and he lost by, 2 points. And everybody's, clapping for the champion, all this stuff. Everybody's screaming, carrying on. All of a sudden, the judges call the umpire over. He goes over to the table, comes back, tells him that my son got some kind of back point somehow and beat the kid by a point, and the crowd goes totally quiet. And I scream, woo-hoo!
So this is like the winner of the Kentucky Derby here. It was all said and done. Everybody's celebrating, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, and they hand it over to you. Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. I didn't really know that much about wrestling, but when he won, I sure was happy about it.
That's it. It's very subjective. I think like thanks, anything, Troy. We have to rely on judges.
Like boxing.
Boxing.
MMA.
But essentially, all sports have judges. All of them. You have referees, umpires. There's always somebody there judging something. And,
true.
And you hear time and time again, don't leave it in the hands of the referees. Don't leave it in the hands of the judges.
Yeah.
Don't leave it in the hands of the umpires. If you go in there and you do what you need to do, then all of that other stuff shouldn't matter.
What, whether you win or lose?
Right.
It's how you play the game.
Yeah, I mean, but it's hard to walk away with that when you feel that you really did.
Uh-huh.
You bested your opponent and you have not been rewarded.
That's right. Nothing says I won like a knockout.
Right.
Yeah. There's no room for,
I wonder if anybody's
even in
ever...
chess. Right. Bam!
What were you going to say again?
No, I just wonder if there's ever been like a knockout that's been, you've been DQ'd because of.
I'm sure there have been dirty knockouts.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
There's histories of putting stuff in boxing gloves and things like that are.
Like horseshoes, like Bugs Bunny did?
Yeah. No, I remember there was one guy who won several big fights, and the word was he was putting plaster inside of his boxing glove. And it's still a controversy to this day.
And it,
and they, you know, they tape those up and sign the referees. I think it's the referees that sign the tape that goes around the boxers to make sure that nobody breaks it.
Don't
gets
they
in there.
Gouge with the thumbs too?
They can, yeah, they can do stuff.
And
like
also
that.
Put like stuff to make the eyes water on the.
Remember, Mickey was talking about the guy put a nail in there.
Put a nail, right? My guy, every time you get punched me about foot. Would he punch you like a quarter of a million times? Because you are ugly. I mean, you look like a creature from hell is what you look like.
Intern.
Horrible! What, did he run over your face in a car?
Yeah. Connor just brought up a video. All right, so this is what I'm talking about. There was a guy who legit got knocked out. He got DQ'd afterwards because he jumped on him and then did a front flip off of his back. So he had legit knocked this guy out. Yeah, so he got the classy.
Yeah, jumps on him and
yes,
used him as a springboard.
Yeah, I mean it's a good move.
Can if you knock someone out, can you piss on them when they're down on the ground?
Sure.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You can.
You can.
Yeah. You can.
You know what? I haven't read the bylaws.
Yeah. Follow up on the rules.
All right.
Nick.
Preston,
I'll be done pooping in just a second.
Hang on. This is my victory poop. You mentioned Seabiscuit, and I love that movie. Yeah. In the book Seabiscuit, which I've read as well, they really go into a lot of the cheating and the ways that the jockeys would look for every advantage possible.
Anything
that they could do, and the lengths to which they would go to cut weight. You know, it's just, I mean, it's a brutal sport now, but in the 20s and teens and 30s when the book was set and these historical events happened.
And it meant the world. I mean, it's still huge, but stuff like, bulimia and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, man, I have a couple stories. Here's a few more of hitting a home run and being disqualified because of contact with someone before you touch the plate. Yeah, I'm going to go to Alex. Alex, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, what's up, Alex?
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. I've listened to you guys forever and never gotten through.
Well, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thanks. So my husband helps to coach my son's Little League team. And last year, a kid hit a legit over-the-fence home run.
Wow.
And as he's rounding third, my husband gave him a high five. And everybody's celebrating. It was awesome. And the umpire, like, silenced everyone and then said, no way, like, you know, you high-fived him when he came around third base and took the home run away from the kid.
Yeah, we just we had a similar call just a little while ago, and you can only do that after they touch home.
So that's that is spelled out in the Little League rule book.
I would love
to see where that is, A. And B, how can that possibly, what is the purpose of that since the actual home run has already been executed?
Yeah.
I could see if you do not touch the bases.
Right.
That is obviously something you absolutely need to do. You have to hit all the bases. But a simple sign of way to go.
Way to go.
Yeah. I mean, the ball's out of play when it's hit over that fence. So, you can't change the outcome of that. It's out. It's over the fence.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you've ever watched the Little League World Series, every coach high fives their kid as they come around third base. So
I guess it's
crazy. And they ended up losing the game by one run.
There you go.
It's a crock of crap. Yeah. I would have punched someone in the face.
Thanks for the call, Alex.
Yeah, I hit a home run over center field fence, and I was so excited. I was booking around the bases, and my first base coach stopped me. He's like,
is football.
You're playing the wrong sport.
But he literally like went and grabbed me and said, like, no, go enjoy this, like jog around the bases. I was, you know.
And
he could have disqualified.
Why wasn't that disqualified?
Because maybe my umpire is not a psychopath.
Like, or maybe it was a different league. But you remember Mark McGwire when he broke the home run record? He almost forgot to touch first base.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And he just walked right by it. I'm going to go to Tom. Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey. So I was actually in a Little League situation. I remember I was probably like 7 or 8 years old, and we had, you know, somebody hit a home run over the fence, and the entire team came out along like the third baseline to celebrate and, you know, gave the guy a pat on the back, high fives, and the umpire called it an out, took the run away from us, and it ended up costing us the game.
How about that? There's another one. It's a third story. We've had the same thing. I had no idea that rule existed. My kids played Little League, never heard that one before.
This is an eye opener.
Upon the league, right?
I had no idea that it existed until that point.
Oh, no kidding. So at least you guys should have been aware of that. Wow. All right. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. How about a warning or something?
Well, so I'm finding lots of controversy online of people writing about this. People asking, where is the official rule written down? And it's not. And they're saying it's kind of like up to the umpire. And a lot of parents are saying this is it's not a real rule. And umpires are saying it is a rule.
Well, if it's,
I guess it's got to be per league. And if it is, an ump couldn't call that unless it was a rule.
It would have to be posted or somewhere. It would have to be that information would be available and made known to everyone participating. You can't just during the game go, oh, by the way, I'm one of the umpires that doesn't like this.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't count.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Chris. Same thing. Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
What's up, bitches?
Hey, man. How you doing, bitch? What's the story, bud?
So to Steve, what you said, I don't know where it's written down or if it is, but when I was in Little League, we made it pretty far into the All-Stars. We were playing teams from all over the county, all that stuff. Our coaches harped upon the fact that if you hit a home run, do not touch my hand when you round third. And the explanation they would give is because, let's say someone did not hit a home run over the fence and then a player was rounding third, the coach could grab their hand, pull them forward, and get them home faster.
Give them a boost. Okay.
Like an unwritten rule, I guess you could say. And some, I've also been in games where a kid had hit a home run, high-fived the coach at third base, not a word was said. And maybe it is circumstantial based upon the umpire if he wants to be a D-bag about it or whatever. You know?
No, I think you're right, Chris, because I remember it was also a rule that the coach could not meet the runner at third base and drive him home in a golf cart.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know what? Maybe it stems – thanks for your call. Maybe it stems from that, what Chris just said. And you think, well, the ball went over the fence, then it's what's the point? But maybe, you know, you're supposed to run out the hit no matter what.
You have to.
So maybe they're thinking you're running with all your might. You don't know if it went over the fence or not. And if you do reach out and you get that, you know, the contact from the coach, he might be helping you along. I don't know. It could be something as stupid as that.
What if the ball goes way over the fence, but a strong wind brings it right back over? It could happen.
It could happen. And
there's
cartoons.
A tornado in the parking lot.
To me, it sounds
like...
A dust devil.
And then toads start raining down on the field. Right.
It sounds like maybe the umpires are kind of idiots. You know,
I think it sort of sits there. You know, like these rules that occasionally they sort of keep them, you know, one level below obvious so that they can pull them out in just such a situation. But I think there has to be some sort of uniformity to something like this that could potentially blow a game for somebody.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I'm not saying all umpires are idiots. By the way.
No.
I'm just saying the ones that
most of them are.
No, I'm just saying the ones that are disqualifying out of the park home runs for this very reason, that they're interpreting the rules a little bit differently or a little bit more harshly. I don't know.
What does it say in the Bible?
If that's the rule, that's the rule.
But apparently it's so gray that some, you know, the people that...
I don't know.
It has to be degraded.
It might be per league, you know? So
No, it can't be per league. There are like universal rules. Are there not?
Two objects cannot occupy the same... Like physics, right?
Yeah.
The same thing.
Object in motion remains in motion unless acted upon by an outside force.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a lot like that.
Yeah, the phone always rings when you're in the shower.
Right, that too. You know,
it's Newton's fourth law.
But when they invent phones, they will always ring.
Right. No, I would imagine there are unique rules in certain leagues, you know, about celebrations and things like that.
Cutest team gets a run automatically.
No, because there's like USA baseball, right?
Okay,
USA. So I don't know. Like, so my son, you know, he plays baseball, and then last year they changed the rule all across America about the types of bats that you're allowed to use, not allowed to use. And
there
are
universal rules, and then there are rules that apply to individual leagues. And for example, ground rules. You know, so certain leagues, certain stadiums have walls that are higher than others. If you play a game, if the Tampa Bay Light or Tampa Bay Rays come to mind, if you hit a ball off of certain rafters this is the major leagues, it's a ground rule double. If you hit it off of other rafters, it's a foul ball.
Really? Because of the complexion of each stadium, right? Because,
well, and in Tampa Bay, it's a dome, and they didn't build the freaking dome high enough. So there are balls that go off the ceiling, and sometimes it's a ground rule double. But then, Steve, I mean, like your joke about the wind blowing it back, it's a funny one. But in Tampa Bay, if it bounces in one direction, it can be a home run. If it bounces in another direction, it can be a ground rule double. And if it bounces in a third direction off a different rafter, after, it's a foul ball.
Yeah, I've told you guys, like golf has bizarre rules, and if an animal comes out and take your ball,
yeah,
it depends on if it was a dog or a different type of animal. I kid you not, that stuff is written into the rules.
Oh, I know, because when I researched a whole bunch of golf rules. I think you were playing against maybe Steve Renazzisi or something at golf trivia.
Yeah. Kicked his ass.
The absurdity of these rules. But I guess at some point, somewhere on the highlands of Scotland or something, you know, a groundhog came out and ate a ball, and they had to decide what to do with it.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, there's some funky rules out there, and sometimes they're used to take away what you felt was your championship moment. Yep, and it certainly happened to Maximum Security at the Derby on Saturday. First time in the 145-year... They killed the horse afterwards, by the way.
You bastard.
No, the first time in the 145-year history of the race. So Country House is the winner of the Kentucky Derby.
And neither of those horses have committed to the Preakness. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so Country House and Maximum Security, neither one has said we're going to race in the next Triple Crown race.
Well, they will.
Yeah, probably.
Country House definitely will, because it's going to take a run at the Triple Crown.
It's going to be very unexciting. You don't have that going for you.
All right, thanks for your calls. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I have collected some stories over the weekend that I want to share with you in the form of the Bizarre File. Yeah. That is next. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thanks, Chris. Let's get to the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's dive into it. It's brought to you by Mulchworks of Aston, PA, offering mulch, topsoil, compost, decorative and crushed stone, grass seed, straw, and more. Mulchworks delivers to residential and commercial markets. Visit them online, mulchthis.com, or you can stop by in person to meet their friendly staff. So this is wild. A visitor to Hawaii Volcanoes National Park climbed past the metal railing.
Oh boy.
Lost his footing and fell into the Kilauea Volcano caldera.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. This happened on Wednesday evening. Authorities got a call that a man had fallen into the caldera, which is the crater formed by previous volcanic activity.
I bet he feels stupid now.
He was with a group, which is why the call came in instantly. Park officials immediately launched a search and rescue operation around 9 p.m. They located the man. He was alive, but seriously injured.
Miraculous.
Perched on a narrow ledge 70 feet from the cliff edge.
That was a mistake.
Officials began a rescue operation, including the use of a rope system to extract the man from the ledge, and he was rescued in about an hour.
So other people risked their lives to go save this guy's life.
Yeah. He was airlifted to Hilo Medical Center, where he was treated for his injuries. He will probably face some charges because of that. He went past the railings.
Those fences are there for a reason.
Exactly.
Don't go past them.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're taking a selfie.
Two Florida lovebirds are facing criminal charges after they were caught having sex Monday night on the sidewalk right in front of police headquarters in Key West, Florida.
Wow, that's romantic.
Cops say that Gary Hill and Crystal Francis had shared a pint of vodka before they began trysting in public.
That's just right here, like we did last summer. That's
Again?
Yeah.
Yeah. So cops had learned about the coupling around 9 p.m. from a female passerby who reported the duo was poised to have sex in front of headquarters. And
yeah, here we go.
When a patrolman When they went outside to investigate, he spotted the 46-year-old Hill with his pants down having sex with Francis, who was not wearing pants or underwear.
God, I bet that looked super hot.
The couple lying down on the sidewalk was, quote, actively engaging in sexual intercourse, police charged. Hill explained when confronted by the officer, "I'm horny. Oh, she was giving it up to me right then and there." That's what he had to say.
You know, it favors the bold.
Hill would also chalk up the illicit encounter as a, quote, Key West moment.
Yeah, this one's going in my scrapbook.
Hill was arrested for indecent exposure and booked into the county jail on the misdemeanor charge. Hill,
hold on to the sewer grate and I'll take you from behind.
Hill, whose address is listed as the streets of Key West in jail records, is locked up on $7,500 bond and scheduled for arraignment.
Your life choices have not gone well if your address is the streets of Key West.
Francis was not arrested at the scene since she was severely intoxicated and was taken to a hospital for treatment, but an arrest warrant is likely in her future.
Does it say if they're going to stay together or not?
You know what? That's still up in the air. I'm not really sure. In Houston, the Harris County District Attorney's Office will determine whether a sheriff's deputy should be charged with a crime for knocking a man to the ground after encouraging the man to slap him. This is dumb.
Go ahead, slap me.
Yeah, listen to this.
I dare you.
So the deputy involved did not have his body camera on at the time. News obtained video that was recorded on another deputy's body camera. The incident happened outside of an IHOP. Deputies were there for a disturbance.
Tensions always run high when there's pancakes involved.
One deputy became engaged with a 61-year-old man and apparently was saying to the man, and they have this on video, "Get it off your chest, slap the S out of me, and get it off your chest. I'm giving you permission to slap the S out of me and get it off your chest and see what happens." The man slapped him.
Yeah.
He told him to. And the deputy knocked the dude on the ground. He slapped him harder and knocked him on the ground. They're not identifying the deputy or the man because no one is charged with the crime yet.
Right. He didn't hear the part about, and then see what happens.
And then the deputy says, well, it doesn't matter.
No, it's by law, you're totally fine.
The deputy says, get up. That was stupid. That was effing stupid. The man was handcuffed, taken to jail, and charged with interfering with duties of a public servant. The next day, the charge was dismissed. Magistrate found no probable cause. Essentially, the cop was baiting him to do it. The deputy has been on active duty ever since and has faced no disciplinary action as of yet. Here's a follow-up story. You remember this. An iguana was injured when a man pulled the lizard from under his shirt and threw it at an Ohio restaurant manager. Remains in protective custody at a humane society that is awaiting court permission to provide medical treatment. The turquoise female iguana that police named Copper, has a broken leg, metabolic bone disease, and other ailments. The animal needs surgery that will cost about $1,600.
Wow.
But that can't happen until a judge gives approval because the Humane Society is not its owner. The Humane Society is seeking a tax-deductible donation to pay for the surgery. Copper is receiving basic care for now to make the lizard as comfortable as possible. The iguana's 49-year-old owner has been charged with cruelty to animals and disorderly conduct, both misdemeanor charges. The man threw a menu at a waitress at a Perkins, and when a manager intervened, the man removed the iguana from beneath his shirt, swung it around, and threw it at him. And I guess it seemed like the thing to do at the time. So he injured the iguana and now it's going to cost $1,600 and the Humane Society is trying to raise the money to save him.
Did he have a concealed carry for the iguana?
You know what? They didn't indicate that. Hmm. And maybe that's something his lawyer needs to work on.
I would look into it.
And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file for now. Okay, for Mom, how about we set you up with this? A gift card for a free massage or facial.
Yeah.
This Mother's Day, you can make Mom glow with a gift card to Hand and Sew Massage and Facial Spa. Buy a Mother's Day spa package and get a free massage or facial gift card to use as a gift for yourself. You can visit handandstone.com for the details. We'll take caller number 16 at 215-263-WMMR. and we'll see if we can set you up with that. Looks really weird outside.
It really does. So it's dark and cloudy for half the sky and sunny right in front of us.
Yeah, so we've got a break in the clouds, and then there's really ominous looking clouds on the other side, which gives it this really weird appearance. But
supposed to be
breaking up, and we're supposed to get to partly cloudy skies and 73 degrees, so it's going to be nice. It'll get there. It's okay, Steve. We'll be all right.
I'm still a little scared.
We'll be scared. It's National Hoagie Day, too, so that's a good thing. We'll take a break, and we'll come back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Muse. Disturbed. Tours.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I got a couple of shout outs if you guys don't mind.
Oh,
right.
Sure.
This one says, hey, it's hoping to get a birthday shout out to my youngest son, Bryce Allen, who's going to be celebrating his 17th birthday May 15th. Junior at Norristown Area High School, worked extremely hard in and out of the classroom, earning Student of the Month back in March. And member of the football team, stays until 6 o'clock after school, 4 days a week to work out, get ready for the upcoming season. Bryce also remains very active with our church and our community service project. What a bright young man. That
unbelievable.
Like. Says he deserves a big juicy shout out, and that's from, Brian Allen, who's checking in. So here you go, a shout out for your birthday. Here is another one, and then Casey has one. Hey, bitches. My name is Nelson. I've been listening to and podcasting your show every day for the past several years, and I love all of you for making me laugh and help getting me through many mornings and days of traveling. I want to ask you for a loud, wet, and potentially underwear-ruining shout-out for my nephew, who will be 3 years old June 18th, but it says any time in 2019 would be fantastic. My sister Sarah, Theo's mom.
Theo!
Introduced me to your show while she was a vet student at UPenn, and I love her for it. Both of them would be just blown away to hear a shout out for him while they are podcasting the show. That might be so happy that Theo would break out into his tornado dance that he made up for the Oh My God tornado sound clip. Hmm. So he's got a tornado dance.
Well, I like that.
Thanks, everybody. Keep everybody's making everybody's day better by being yourselves. Love, Uncle Nelson. I am the God of Hellfire. So here you go. Shout out. And then one more from Casey.
Okay. So Nick and I were at the Dover International Speedway yesterday.
What a race.
There. Yeah. Unfortunately, the rain got in the way and the race didn't get off at all yesterday. And it's going to happen today. But that doesn't mean that we didn't hang out with the listeners of the show in our suite. And so I want to say thank you to all the people at Dover International Speedway. I want to say hello and thank you to Joe and Deanna Principe, as well as Chris Grant, who are all from Autism Delaware. But this specific shout out goes to Steve, Jen, Dominic, and Jacob, a.k.a. Frankenstein, last name Schmidt. I want to give a shout out because these two little kids, they do midget racing, like the go-kart midget racing. Ooh. And they were
they don't race dwarves.
They don't. Okay. I think that would be illegal at this point. Okay. But the name of their team, because their last name is Schmidt, the name of their racing team is Holy Schmidt Racing.
Yep, fun. Nice.
Yeah, so I want to give all of those guys a shout out. And I apologize, Jacob, who a.k.a. is Frankenstein. He corrected me last week or 2 weeks ago. I had said Clint Bauer. His name is Clinton Boyer, NASCAR racer.
Shut up. Okay.
Here's your chart out.
By the way, speaking of those, the go-kart racing.
Yeah.
I mean, the really tiny ones.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who had a race, he has a car, and he had a race team and the whole deal. And he has a couple of these go-karts. And when I was seeing his race car, I'm like, oh, you got the go-karts. Here he is. He goes, yeah, those things can do 75 miles an hour.
Whoa. So, when we had our Granny Grand Prix, are they the same style? Or are they small?
No, they're different.
They have roll cages and everything, right?
Oh. No, they didn't have a roll cage on it, no.
Okay.
But they were that size, and they could do 70. Can you imagine being in something that small?
That low to the ground?
Going 75 miles an hour.
Wow.
I can't imagine that. When I've been over at say Arnold's, and I've been on the track alone before, and they open it up a little because they have control over those cars are electric. They have control, and they can. And I've let them bump it up, and I think the fastest, maybe 40 miles an hour that I've gotten, and that felt like I was going 100 miles an hour. It's nuts, man. They can really get those things moving. By the way, was it fun just looking at the track yesterday?
Oh, my God. It's honestly, like, to look out those windows and see nothing going on was majestic.
I'm sorry.
And mind you, it is a cool track when there are cars on it.
Right. They
driving competitively.
They did the intros of the drivers. They didn't even ever get the drivers' cars out onto the track at all. So it just,
They were hoping against hope that they would be able to, you know, that the rain would stop at a certain point and they'd be able to get the dryers out there. And
they need an hour to dry the track. So they needed a window of at least an hour in order to just dry the track and then get the cars out and then maybe get some laps in. So they kept trying. But they rescheduled it for today, and so I honestly just wish for our listeners' sake that they had rescheduled it earlier in the day. But so it goes.
It's going to be a good day.
Should be nice. Yeah. So we'll see how that works out for them. Hey, I have an email. It's a follow up on something we had talked about last week. This is from Lisa D, who checked in, and it's about olive oil byproduct.
Oh, right.
I think you had asked, what do they use? Or was it you?
Right. What do they do with the olives after they squeeze the oil out of it?
After they squeeze all the oil out of it, what do they do with the olives? And Lisa said, I heard your podcast from May 1st, and you were discussing olive oil. I work for an olive oil importer.
Ah.
Our olive oil producer in Italy uses the waste olive meat in bruschettas.
Oh, I love bruschettas.
And the olive pits are ground up and used for fuel for the manufacturing process. And apparently she says nothing ever gets wasted from that.
I was wrong. I had assumed they were used in marbles.
That's correct.
Yeah, but for some reason.
That made no sense. But that's cool. Well, I love that. Yep. And I love bruschetta. I do, too. So that's what they use that for. Just thought I'd let you know.
Well, we need to know. We impart sometimes some... I know. It's hard to believe, but occasionally inaccurate information is imparted on the show.
Mm-hmm. I'm not like a big fan of tomatoes at all, but man, do I love bruschetta. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is.
That should be the name of your autobiography.
Well, I don't like olives, but I like olive oil.
Okay.
Okay. Know? All right. I don't like sweet potatoes, but I like sweet potato fries.
Okay. My little brother hates mayonnaise, and fish loves tuna fish and mayonnaise.
Unbelievable.
Okay, now that's weird.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. He hates both mayonnaise and fish. But tuna salad,
yeah,
he's on board.
Loves it.
Wow. Okay.
I love grapes, despise raisins.
Okay.
Don't love Costello and Abbott, but I love Abbott and Costello.
Okay. Should we open up the phones on this? Because we're going somewhere with this. I'm trying to think of what I clearly do not like, but when you put them together, it becomes something you do.
Sodomy and terrorism.
No, I don't like either of those, to be honest.
They taste great together. Yeah. I'm trying. I mean, like tomato sauce. I love tomato sauce, but like I just
don't. Tomatoes.
But tomatoes.
Yeah.
Just don't really care for it.
It's weird how, and we talked about this, and sometimes it's a case of texture, and sometimes it's just the configuration. That's all it takes is reconfiguring it, and then you love it. But in its raw component parts, sometimes it just sucks.
Like apples, don't like apple pie.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to cut you.
I love cheese, and I love
cake. Apple
pie
is one of my favorites.
Is it? Yeah. I like everything except for the apples in the apple pie.
You just like to eat the crust?
Yeah, like the crust and that little syrup stuff.
Yes, can I have a crust and syrup pie, please?
So are you...
Come again, son?
So is it the texture of the apples because they've been softened a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So texture might be a big thing for you. Texture is a big thing for my wife. She will. She doesn't mind mushroom-flavored dishes, but the actual mushrooms... She can't stand because they feel kind of slimy to her.
You know, I used to be that way. Yeah. I've come around, which is actually, I think, I actually used to love avocados and had no problem. And then I moved into a texture repulsion stage, and I'm in that currently. Yet I do love the taste of avocados.
But what about guac?
Guacamole, no, they're a perfect example.
Yeah.
Love guacamole and couldn't eat raw avocado.
This person texted in, I hate avocado but love marshmallows.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Go hand in hand. Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about? Here we go. I only like carrots in beef stew.
Oh, here's one.
Hate onions, love onion rings. Wow, okay.
I don't like...
Onion rings are such a pain in the ass to eat. Yeah.
I don't like raw cauliflower or broccoli, but I love them cooked.
Okay.
All right, so I don't like raw cauliflower, but I love hummers.
Yeah. Ah, well, this text just says buttholes and vaginas. So I don't know whether they like them or dislike
them.
From
Nabisco.
They have not actually indicated. It says don't like cream cheese, but absolutely love cheesecake. Okay.
All right.
love corned beef Reubens. Hate all the ingredients separately.
I might be on board for that because I don't. So there are sauerkrauts in a Reuben, is it not?
Yep. So you don't like sauerkraut?
I'm not a massive sauerkraut fan.
Do you like corned beef?
Not particularly.
How about, it's either Russian dressing or you can have Thousand Island dressing. Do you like either of those?
So the elements...
Rye bread?
Yeah, okay, I'm down with rye bread.
Okay.
So one of the... But most of the elements in that sandwich, I should not like it at all when it's all brought together, and yet I do like it.
Okay.
And therein lies the mystery of life.
It's kind of how I feel like broccoli, Rob, and I don't really care for
friend Rob Broccoli.
Chuck has a friend named Chris Broccoli, by the way.
fun fact.
So I don't really care for broccoli, Rob, and I don't really care for sharp cheese. However,
but blunt cheese you love.
If you put broccoli, Rob, and sharp cheddar on like a roast pork sandwich, yeah, I can do it. I can totally do it.
They do that at Primo's, by the way, and it's Hoagie Day. I don't care for broccoli, Rob, either. It's too bitter.
It tastes
different than regular broccoli.
I hate broccolini.
Oh, really? Little bitty broccolis?
It's too... Well, itty bitty broccolis. What is the stringy version? The really stringy...
That's broccoli, Rob.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Then I don't like broccoli, Rob.
No.
I don't need to floss while I'm eating broccoli.
No. That can get stuck in your teeth. Let me go to... I'll go to Dave. Hi, Dave. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gang.
Hey, what's up? Dave!
Dave!
Go ahead.
I cannot stand beets.
Okay.
They make me gag.
Okay.
But the beet vegetable potato chip, I love.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, those are good.
I'll tell you something else there, if I may, Dave.
It's got to be a texture thing.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of beets either. However, they use beets in the Impossible Burger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it adds a really good taste, and it gives it that color.
I love beets. I've been eating them a lot lately.
Beets are very good for you.
Actually, good fiber.
Absolutely.
Because I poop like a mad dog when I eat those things.
Have you ever had just like a raw beet?
And it's red. By the way, let me back up, because if you eat beets... And you forget about it, and later on you go to the bathroom,
oh, yeah,
you think you're pissing blood.
Oh, my God.
And I the other day, I had beets for dinner, and I kid you not, within less than 30 minutes, I went to the bathroom, and it already had like a rosé type of color to it.
Mm. Mm. Rosé.
Calgon, take me away.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Marissa?
So, I had for a while, had only had beets like out of the can, like the...
You'd call them canned beets?
Pickled beets.
Oh. Yeah.
But if have them like raw, roasted, really, really good.
Yeah, they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way we prefer to have them.
I hate the texture of coconut, but there are some coconut flavored things that I can stomach, like shrimp. I'm fine
coconut
with that.
Pie. Shut up. Mm-hmm. I just thought you despised it all the way around.
No, there are parts of it that I can tolerate.
Coconut milk, coconut cream pie,
coconut soup.
Coconut.
I hate coconut.
Coconut water might be the worst invention of mankind.
By the way,
it's pretty lame.
It's also calorically, it's so good. It's natural and it comes out of a coconut. It's nature's Zagnut bar. It's high in calories and it's not all that good for you.
No. Casey's looking for the coconut.
How do you spell coconut again?
C-O-C-O.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Maybe it's under Looney Tunes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me go to some other calls. I'm going to go to, is this Carol?
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, I can eat peanuts, honey roasted, any kind of peanuts. Cannot stomach even the smell of peanut butter if you open a jar.
Wow. I love peanut butter.
What is it? Is it too sweet for you?
Nope. I never even tasted it. It's the smell. Never had it growing up. My mom never liked it, so I never had it. And the first time I opened a jar for my dad, I was probably close to 20. And the smell totally, like, gagged me out. And it's, like, imprinted now.
Something's wrong with you.
Daughter, open me a jar of peanut butter.
Mm.
No, but I can eat peanuts. The shelled kind or,
Okay.
With, like,
I love peanuts and I love peanut butter.
Interesting. Thanks, Carol.
Yeah.
Maybe you should try it. Well, no, it wouldn't work. I would say try chunky peanut butter. I used to love chunky peanut butter. I don't really care for it anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's it like used to be my favorite. It's like a treat?
Yeah.
Like a little dessert?
Yeah, kind of like a little dessert. But, like, I'm, you know, pretty steady creamy cheese. Creamy peanut butter. And every now and then, get a little chunky.
Dance with the devil.
I will. I will. By the way,
why don't you toss some chunks in that?
I found your coconut stuff.
Toss coconut salad. Fresh coconut milk. New England boiled coconut. Do I hate coconuts?
Don't Yosemite like... Sam is right.
He is. I don't like clams necessarily, but I do like clam chowder.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What about on a pasta?
I won't do it.
Like a vongole? No?
I'm going to go to Ashley. Hang on, Ashley. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. First time, long time.
Oh,
well, it took this dumb topic to get you to call in.
Yeah, what's up, Ashley?
I hate cold cheese. Like, I'll take it off of hoagies, sandwiches, but I love cheese on pizza, mozzarella sticks, quesadillas.
Yeah, there's a couple of texts coming in says, love pizza, or I'm sorry, I hate cheese, love pizza.
It's like my daughter, yeah.
That's what they used to chant in the 60s.
Yeah.
Love, cheese, hate, pizza. Love.
Yeah. No, other way.
The other way, right?
Love cold cheese.
Hate cold cheese. Love
hate cheese.
Pizza.
Love pizza.
They weren't very organized.
Yeah,
they
weren't quite that's why it all fell apart.
Listen, they were doing acid.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
All right, I want to remind everybody that you hate the cold cheese and you love the pizza. All right, on three.
It's Woodstock.
They couldn't get it together. Hey, maybe if you chant loud enough, there'll never be cold cheese.
Oh, dear God. Let me go to Derek. Hi, Derek.
Hey, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's all good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Listen, chocolate, not on my favorite things list, unless there's at least crackle in it.
Yeah, I kind of hear you on that.
I love
this is at least
chocolate.
A crackle in it.
Least. Is there at least a crackle in that goddamn thing?
Do you mean like nuts?
Give me some Twix. Give me some... Anything.
Something in there with a snap in it. Okay.
There you go. Exactly.
I'm kind of with you on that. Like, I can't eat just like a regular Hershey bar, but a Hershey with almond, no doubt.
Okay.
But every bite has to have an almond in it.
You know where I stand on that chocolate. There's just nothing that, there's absolutely the most wonderful thing on earth. But additions to it, my current fixation is dark chocolate with blueberries inside. And you got me stuck
the
on the Harry
and David.
Harry and David?
Yep.
Henry and David.
Wait a minute. Here's an interesting.
Adam and Eve.
This says, love cannoli. Believe pre-filled cannoli are an abomination, and those who buy them should die.
Okay. Wow. So what is the cannoli?
Do they not like them with the filling in them at all?
I think that it's the process of, like, if you were to buy a cannoli that was, you know, that was pre-made in a store, as opposed to going to a pastry shop in South Philly where they're filling in the cannoli every day.
Well,
oh, that's just, is the come on, it's being snobby.
Yeah. When you say the cannoli, are you referring to the shell?
That's what I'm curious about. Yeah, I don't know.
Because I do like the cannoli shell. However, a well-made, the whatever the cannoli sauce or whatever the hell it is inside, I love that, the filling.
Here's more of the conundrum. Loves oranges, hates orange juice.
Okay. Ooh.
So that's kind of weird.
You know what?
But it's just, you know, it's a matter of your own personal texture and taste. And
the
all
way
that.
It's prepared. Yeah. The bizarre, it's not many steps away from what you don't like, and suddenly you like it.
I don't like a really pulpy orange juice, but I do care for a nice, ooh, like a freshly squeezed orange juice.
Right.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Let me go to...
put me on that list, Mr. Man.
Omar. Hi, Omar. You're on the air.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
What's up, Omar?
Hey, so maybe it's just me, but warm pickles or hot pickles on like a sandwich, like a burger. I can't stand that for whatever reason, but yet if it's by itself from a jar, I can eat that all day.
Hmm. Like my kids in water, right? Their water has to be like cold. They can't.
Their pickle water?
No, just water in general. Oh. Like it's a temperature thing for them. So like for me, I just, if it's wet, I'm cool with it, you know? But like it needs to be, for my kids, it has to. So when they like make their thermoses for sporting events, they got to throw ice in there just to make sure it's cold.
Children warmed up.
Yes, you do.
No,
believe it or not, we leave all of our soda and Gatorade and things like that all unrefrigerated. Well, and my kids drink it that way.
I'm coming to your house.
Isn't that wild?
Because I agree with all that. I don't... my water is always room temperature. I don't like ultra cold drinks.
Yeah, soda has to be cold. Everything else,
Gatorade can be warm. Yeah. Iced tea can be warm. I have no problem with it.
Yeah,
I even heat up my ice cubes.
I couldn't tell you the last time that I've actually drank soda that didn't have booze in it.
Really?
Yeah. I quit on soda a long time ago.
Soda to me now, years and years ago, it used to be as a kid. Oh, I always had soda. Now it's like, to me, it's like a dessert. When I have a glass of Coke or Pepsi, to me, it's so sweet.
Will you guys drink?
I treat it as a dessert.
Will you drink just club soda by any chance?
No.
No? Okay.
That's kind of what
I... Unless I'm a member of the club.
Yeah. No, that's what I pretty much drink now.
Yeah.
I drink carbonated, essentially it's carbonated water.
Mm-hmm.
I'll drink...
what is that? La Croix?
No. Well, yeah, we do have those.
Vajumic.
But it's got the next to nothing as far as flavor in it goes, but I've trained myself to drink that.
Some of those sodas have the zero-calorie sodas that are flavored.
Mm-hmm.
There must be some sort of pact made with the devil to get them completely...
Yeah, I never liked it, but the SodaStream, we got them a few months ago, and it's...
They're good?
Yeah, it's a highlight in my house.
I'm going to go to Chris. Hi, Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on? So, first off, I'm heading to Dover. I was with you guys yesterday.
Oh!
Hey.
I'm glad you're coming back, man. Enjoy today.
I will. I was a Pearl Jam fan, Nick.
Oh, it was nice chatting with you.
Yes, it was. So I hate sour cream, but I love sour cream and onion.
Okay. Sour cream and onion potato chips or dip?
Yes, as a dip.
Okay. All right.
So I get the 16-ounce sour cream and the French onion soup, mix it together.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the standard, and it's glorious. Okay. I've said many times, and it's much to my... embarrassment. I have made entire meals out of chips and onion dip.
So, Chris, if you put sour cream on a potato, no dice, right?
Oh, disgusting.
Okay, interesting.
Disgusting.
All right, thanks, man.
I'm surprised you'll actually even mix it then.
Yeah.
Because, sour cream, if you don't like it, it's icky.
Huh. I wonder if you did, because I never thought of this until right now, like a baked potato with that sour cream with the French onion dip mixed in it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Is it good?
It is. Let me go to Eric. Eric, you're on the air. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Oh! Thank you, man. What's up?
All right, here you go. I hate regular, normal-sized tomatoes, but I will eat the hell out of a little pack of cherry tomatoes or cherry tomatoes in a salad.
I hate cherry tomatoes.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Did they taste different to you?
They taste different, and the consistency is different. I don't like the slimy, gooey. Like if I eat an apple, like I can stand a little soft spot in the apple, but you give me... George Carlin said it best. I can't eat anything that doesn't look like it's done inside.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, Eric, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, we had yesterday, because it was Cinco de Mayo, we had tacos at the house. Right. And when you cut up tomatoes for that what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to de-seed the tomato first so you don't have all that mushy center. You know, the seeds are all, they're kind of slimy inside there. So you clean all that out and it makes for easier to use tomatoes. And I know what he's talking about. It doesn't bother me personally, but I could see if somebody doesn't like that consistency, it would feel disgusting in your mouth.
Yeah, see, I can't do cherry tomatoes at all, not even a little bit. Other tomatoes, if it's like diced up, like bruschetta and stuff like that, I can do that. I can do it like a tomato mozzarella salad. I can do that okay.
But the cherry tomatoes, though, with the smaller tomatoes, to me, the sensation is always as if the tomatoes finishing in your mouth. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You do get a squirt.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
You should have warned me.
By the way, the internet taught me last week that they're, you know, like green peppers, that there are male and female green peppers.
I didn't know that either,
and I hope the internet wasn't lying to me.
They're male and female.
Yeah.
May have been lying to you. I don't know.
Which one has the penis?
So when you look at the bottom of a green pepper.
The female, you know, doesn't sound legit to me.
Of course, in the vegetable world, they do it completely the wrong way.
The bottom of the green pepper, there are green peppers that have like four little nubs on the bottom, and then green peppers that have three little nubs. And the three little, I think, I don't know which one is which. Three nubs, Marissa?
Three nubs is male.
Okay.
Four nubs is female.
No and then kidding. One of them has seeds and one of them doesn't.
Female peppers full of seeds. Are full of seeds and sweeter.
Isn't that a Bob Marley song, Three Little Nubs?
Yeah.
And the peppers? I don't know. Maybe
Delaware's own.
I might think of something else. Let me see. There was another one I wanted to go to. Let me go to Amanda because this is interesting. Hi, Amanda. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. So, what do you love and hate and you shouldn't because they're pretty much the same thing.
So I can eat angel hair pasta anytime, and I hate regular spaghetti.
It's crazy.
and it's just one for see. I love angel hair pasta, but I cannot eat regular hair.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I find it disgusting.
Well, I mean, so that you love steak fries, Steve? I don't care for steak fries.
It's the same exact thing. But what you have, though, is you have when you take a mouthful of the steak fry, it's more potato-y.
Right.
Where my wife loves shoestring fries, but does not like...
That's more
crusty. There's more surface area on that is fried. Kinda. Right. There's, you're mainly just getting the cooked part.
Right.
The harder cooked part, anyway. Or the fried part of it, as opposed to the internal, you know, kind of steamed on the in the middle there. I know what you're talking about. By the way, Marissa, do you concur with this pasta thing?
No, I think it's insane, but I want to know, Amanda.
I think you're a raving lunatic, but sure. I just wanted to say.
Amanda, so you won't eat spaghetti, but will you eat, like, noodles, like rigatoni or something like that?
Yeah, I love all pastas, but spaghetti is, like, I don't know what it is about it. I don't know if it's, like, the thickness of the noodle itself, or...
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Now that you're mentioning it, thank you, Amanda, by the way, my daughter will eat all kinds of pasta, except for bow tie pasta.
Oh. Mm,
I like bow tie pasta.
Yeah, at the moment, what is the technical term?
Farfalle.
Where it's squished together in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that remains a little more al dente than the rest of the pasta.
Okay.
So maybe when she bites into it, the consistency, it's a little bit tougher than the rest of it. And maybe she doesn't like it for that reason.
By the way, what is... Is it simply a design issue with a lot of the pasta?
But here's the thing, is they will cook up differently.
Okay.
And they're also used, okay, so, and I've forgotten the names of my pasta, but fusilli, is that the curly Q one?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so you can use that for, like, meat sauces. What'll happen is that little curly Q will catch some of the pieces of meat and trap it in there. So you get a little bit of a different taste out of... Say, like a, I don't know, a penne or something like that, which won't hold on to it as well.
So there's
there's a reasoning behind some of those pasta shapes, yeah.
One of my favorite dishes was a place that, and they had tri-colored fusilli, so I guess it was different, but it was a delicious dish, and I guess the fusilli was made with different, I don't know, who the hell knows? Maybe they just spray painted it.
You can use different types of flour and stuff.
Oh, maybe that's it. I was acting like I'm a chef.
I'll throw my crazy cards on the table. I will spend like 20 minutes in the pasta aisle picking the perfect pasta.
Yeah.
Depending upon what I'm going to put in it. If it's macaroni and cheese, using the right noodles for that.
Do you cook a lot?
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
So for some reason, I didn't think you did since you're out so much.
Yeah, I just prefer to go out.
Yeah.
I cooked last night.
What'd you cook?
I made little mini pizzas because I had hamburger rolls left over from my tailgate.
Wow. Very thoughtful. Chewy a little.
And I made cilantro.
Martha Stewart.
And arugula pesto. Nice. Yeah, I'm pretty
What's
good.
What's arugula?
It's a vegetable. Thank you.
What's that from?
My Blue Heaven.
Oh. Okay, interesting. Well, we got to wrap it up, but this was a totally... unintended conversation. We were going to go somewhere else, and we'll get to that when we come back, actually. But that is interesting. How did we get started on this?
We were talking about God.
No, it was bruschetta. I don't care.
It was the olive email that we got. And you don't care for tomatoes.
But yet. I love bruschetta.
Love bruschetta.
And then I came out.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
And congratulations on that. How do you feel?
All right, here's what you need a massage.
I know.
Let's give away one of these. Hannah's Home Massage and Facial Spas here this morning. And this is a great gift for Mother's Day. And I have a gift card that you can give to Mom to caller number 25 at 215-263-WMMR on this Mother's Day. Make Mom glow with a gift card from Hannah's Home Massage and Facial Spa. If you buy a Mother's Day gift package, you will get a free massage and facial gift card to use as a gift for yourself. How about that?
Yeah!
Visit handandstone.com for details. We have Kasia from the Northeast and Feasterville locations here, and Jake from the Marlton and Voorhees locations. We are going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket.
Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
This is, I was just moving my microphone when you were doing that. And somebody had texted in earlier and says, I hear somebody's chair squeaking. It's not our chairs, it's our microphone stands.
Yeah.
So listen to this. Let's see if it'll do it now. Okay. I'll move my mic stand.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Can I do mine?
Nick, do yours.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Jesus.
That's the mine? Stand that the microphone is on.
Yeah. Oh, here's mine.
Right.
Yeah. No, mine's actually good because I...
Yours doesn't make any noise?
I move it around a lot. Okay. I don't
Dude, I move
well.
Mine a lot, too. I move it probably more than yours because when I'm done, I shoot it way up like this.
Huh? Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. So, but if I move it...
It sounds like Godzilla.
Here's a nice... Ours kind of answer each other.
Right.
You do it and I'll... It's call and response.
Okay.
Go ahead.
One, two, three.
Wait a second.
Yeah, it's a response.
All right, Nick, wait, here. Do it again.
Bye, Nick.
It drowns it out.
Yeah, the music's too loud.
It's kind of like
Godzilla theme.
The Brachiosauruses in Jurassic Park when they're on the other side of the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Does yours make noise, Casey?
I'm here.
Yeah, it sounds like Chewbacca.
Wow, that's crazy. Here, let me try for real, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yours is more staccato.
Yeah. What about Kathy's? Hold on, Marissa, move it up.
Find out.
No. Steve and Kathy. You know why? It's because they're so damn hygienic.
Here, I'll pull mine down.
All right. Where are y'all going? What? Whoa. Makes a weird sound when it goes down. All right, anyhow. Just thought I'd answer that. Nope, not our chairs.
No.
It's our microphone stands. And trust me, the lubrication doesn't work on them because it's the actual joining pieces are plastic.
It doesn't work.
They're not metal. So anyway, let's see. Piece of audio I wanted to play for you. Joe Russo, one of the directors of Endgame, Avengers Endgame, has apparently made a statement about spoilers.
Yes, he gave the official word, Preston.
Yeah, I want to hear this. Here's a clip from that.
Yeah, I think people have been, you know, really treating this with a lot of integrity. We're really happy. I think we've just asked everybody to hold spoilers until this Monday. After this Monday, it's fair game because everybody's had 2 weekends to see it, and I think people want to start talking about the movie.
Wow.
So he says today.
Fair game as of now? I don't think so. I disagree. Yeah. I think courtesy dictates that you should at least say, have you
seen it?
Has anybody around here seen it yet? In fact, we were just doing that. Casey was making a statement about the ending of the movie, and there were a couple, like 3-4 people in the commercial break that were in here, and you made a statement.
Yep.
I don't want to ruin this for anybody. Unfortunately, the other people that were in here hadn't seen it yet and didn't care for it, didn't care to see it.
So I'll tell you what, the new trailer for the new Spider-Man movie starts up, and at the beginning they say, if you have not seen Endgame, do not watch this trailer.
No kidding.
That's very, very courteous. Yeah.
All right.
Now, like, so, but... All right, there has been so much hype about this movie that there are people like my sister, all right, who have never seen any of these, like, Avengers movies at all that are going back and watching it from the beginning. So so for people like that, I'm trying to keep, you know, a tight lip about it. Like, she just watched Winter Soldier last night. Like, that's how far up she is. And, like, so she texted me, I'm doing Winter Soldier right now. I was like, oh, man.
I'm very happy for
you. Yeah. I was like, yes. I was like, dude, total game changer, man.
Yep.
I went and saw it again on Saturday night. I took my son, and there were people leaving the theater who were talking about Avengers Endgame as they were on their way out. And, you know, I nearly wanted to throttle them because there were people walking into the theater who hadn't seen it at all, including my son. But I saw it in the 4DX experience at King of Prussia Mall.
Yeah. This is the new revision that they made there, and I'm really eager to get over and try this.
So it's a little more pricey. So if you're considering that, keep that in mind. It's not a cheap ticket. However, if you are at all into roller coasters and this type of experience, I cannot recommend it more highly. It was so freaking cool.
Let me ask you about that because I've been in, you know, sensory theaters before where they add some stuff to it, whether it be audio or, you know, wind and things like that or moving seats. Does the entire theater move or just sections or just your seat move?
They do the seats in rows, so each row kind of moves in concert with one another. So they're probably 3 or 4 seats in a row, I mean, maybe more, maybe 4 to 6 seats in a row that
move like a roller coaster. Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
And I didn't quite know what to expect. It was my first experience with this. I was so impressed by it, so blown away by it. And there are some really obvious jostling ones where you're, you know, for example, in Endgame, this is not a spoiler, but there are parts where they're, you know, they're traveling on a spaceship or they're traveling through like a portal kind of a thing. You get jostled around like it's a roller coaster. There are other really subtle movements where the camera might pan up or down, and your seat just kind of does that in concert with the way the camera goes, and it's really slow and it's wow. really subtle, but it adds to the experience. And then there are scenes where it's raining. And you are getting rained on a little bit in the theater.
Wow. Like a mist.
Like a mist. There's a scene, again, this is from the trailer, but Hawkeye's in Japan. And it's a rainy scene. You feel that when you're in the theater. It's really a cool experience. And I would love to see it again. Steve, you and I were talking about it last night.
Right.
And I'm glad I didn't see it the first time this way, because I liked seeing Avengers the first time the way that I did in a normal experience. But to see it for the second time in this experience was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do it.
Yeah. All right. So how are you during the regular times of the movie? How are you seated?
Upside down.
You're raised up a little bit. So your feet are on a platform and you're not upside down, but it's a pretty normal seat. It's a little bit bigger than your normal movie theater seat.
Like a movie tavern size?
About movie tavern size, yeah. Don't need to wear a seatbelt.
Helmet.
It's not just the seat moving. There are other experiences that go along with it, like the rain. There are also smells that are brought in.
Is that right?
Yeah. Steve, you've seen Avengers. And yes. Again, I'm going to say this over and over again. I'm not going to give out any spoilers, but you go to Thanos' planet.
Yes.
It smells really nice.
Yeah.
You're visiting where Thanos lives. And
well, he lives in the gardens.
And it smells fantastic.
All right. How many seats in the whole theater, and how big is the screen?
So there's a couple hundred.
Yeah, right? A couple hundred seats, and normal size screen, you know, like not IMAX, you know, not the massive screen, which they also offer in King of Prussia. Mm-hmm. I think there were 10 to 12 screens in KOP on Saturday night that were airing Avengers in regular.
Wow.
Regular 2D, 3D, and then the IMAX, and then this
4DX. 4DX is 3D as well.
Yes, and yeah. So I didn't know that. So I bought the tickets thinking that it was not that. I actually had to run out to get the glasses because we sat down without them because I wasn't prepared for that. I'd seen it, so it was just the opening scene. It was really cool. And then, you know, there's lightning, flashes come from behind you, come from a whole bunch of different directions.
I'm digging that.
Yeah.
But I would say, like as we said before, if it's something I'm really intent on seeing, I might see it with just the basics first and then go back with the enhanced.
Yeah.
So I'm not so distracted by...
Yeah, that's what Nick was saying. That'd be the way to do it. I agree. That's probably where you're going.
You know, it'd be awesome to see it this way. Manchester by the Sea.
Really add to it.
And just unbelievable.
I don't know, you're a big Godzilla fan. I think they'll probably
it
for that.
And oh, yes.
I'm not as much of a fan of the 3D as you are, Steve. It gives me a bit of a headache. I don't like looking through the glasses, especially if it's a movie that's 3 hours long. But this 3D is really cool. And there are scenes where you're looking through helmets and you're looking, you know, there's depth that's been added to it, and they did it really, really well. So if you're considering it, I would recommend it.
How many theaters are? Is it just one?
Well, I think there's just the one in KOP, and it was about like $25 or something like that. So it's not a cheap ticket.
And Warrington is the other one, right?
I think there's one in Warrington. Yeah. My son, who is 12, loved it. Every second of it. He was so excited about it.
Of a 12-year-old.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it felt like a roller coaster. I haven't been to Disney in a long time, but it felt like that that type of a ride.
I'm down. I'm totally down.
On board with that. Where in the theater is it? Is it next to the IMAX screen?
So you go in, and, you know, the IMAX screen is right in the middle. If you go to the right, it was Theater 10. So it was the first theater to the right. I just felt like Forrest Gump for a second.
You're guiding us.
Off to the right. And normal size theater, 200 seats or so, yeah.
Can you look up a price for that?
Sure.
I'm curious as to what a ticket would cost for that versus, you know, an IMAX like screening versus a regular one. Yeah. I'm sorry?
No, it was like 25.
Yeah, well, it was about that for us on Saturday night. But
4DX?
4DX, yeah.
You went to see it?
No, but I've been talking and wanting to do 4DX for the longest time, and 25 was the price that I was told.
Okay.
Well, you're getting a whole amusement park thing. You know what they should do, Preston? Show movies in iFly.
Oh, my God. Well, they kind of do, actually. There's a helmet they put on you, and it's virtual reality. And
really?
Yeah, it shows you, you know... above the Alps, skydiving or whatever, and they hold on to you, and it's all timed together, and they let you go the exact same time that you would be jumping out of the plane. You see
what?
yeah, you see yourself falling out of the plane, and yeah, and you'd spin around, and it's virtual reality, so it goes wherever you look.
And did you try it?
Yeah, I did.
Did you dig it?
It's cool.
Yeah,
It's neat.
Yeah, it's a gimmick.
It's kind of gimmicky. Yeah. I think I prefer just the regular flying and doing flips and stuff like that is a little more fun. But for somebody who wants an augmented experience, it's pretty neat.
Do they have 50 Shades of Grey?
I didn't try that one out. Yeah, they were all booked up.
Diving into it.
Yeah. But anyhow, all right, cool. Well, I intend to get out and see it again. I'm waiting for it the box office to cool off just a little bit. Did you find prices, Nick?
What I paid was $25. So, I okay. mean, again, this is not if you... It's a little pricey, but
how many
it was worth it.
Screenings a day do they have in that theater, do you know?
There were, like, normal pacing okay. of it. So
like five, I think, right?
Yeah.
Starting at, like, 10:30?
Avengers is, Endgame is 3 hours long. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. The one that we went to was 6:45 on Saturday night. And it was sold out. I mean, there was not an empty seat in the theater. And we got them last minute because it's just the way that the day worked out for us. So we were kind of down front. But it was cool. It was really neat.
Do you need to buy concessions because the other people's food will get thrown into your mouth anyway?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you need to leave your seat at any point during the movie, is that an issue because those things move?
Actually, no, because there's space in between the rows. So you're not really interfering with anybody. It's a roomier experience.
How do you get out of the seat, though, if it's moving?
Just move forward. You just jump down.
So it's not enough to where it would throw you off your feet if you got up and walked.
There's a little experience before the movie starts, right? They show you what it's like. Actually, you know the pre-reel that they run in most movie theaters where the popcorn is exploding and you're going over the roller coaster? They do that, and you feel like you're going on a roller coaster. There was a family of four that was sitting down while that was going. They didn't sit down at that particular time because the seats and the rows are all jostling about. So if you were to try to get up while a ship is taking off and ending, you might have a little bit of a problem.
By the way, so those are some of my favorite moments actually at the movie theater when they do the sound for the IMAX and they run through that whole little thing and they bounce stuff from speaker to speaker
behind you
in front of you and all over the place. I love those little things. Or the 3D, you know, when they're about to change it over to 3D. I just love that type of stuff.
They didn't have that years ago. What was your theater? They
Warrenburg.
Warrenburg.
They just had an awesome jingle. They said, you don't have to pull it up. I'm going somewhere else. It's a great jingle, but I wanted to move on to something else because I want to make sure I play these pieces of audio elsewhere in entertainment. Adam Sandler was on Saturday Night Live.
Yes, and you know what? It was perhaps the best SNL of the season.
Really?
I thought there was just a lot of funny stuff, well-written, well-conceived scripts. They did a thing about, you know, cutting to a war reporter in CNN who the only way he could transmit his coverage back was by using Snapchat. Okay. And so every time they cut to him, there was a filter. You know, with the squashed head, and
that's great.
He's trying to report on the serious war thing, and at one point he's a talking hot dog. And it was really well done, very funny.
What is the Romano Tours?
Oh my god!
So if you've ever, these commercials run. Hey, the family has been doing a tours of Italy for years. You've seen these commercials, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been a while, but
Palero or whatever it is. So it's a parody of that, but it's. It's really well done, and Sandler was really good. It's a parody of those commercials, but it addresses a point about how travel can only go so far in making you happy. So,
here we go.
People love us, but every so often a customer leaves a review that they were disappointed or didn't have as much fun as they thought. So here at Romano Tours, we always remind our customers, if you're sad now, you might still feel sad there, okay? Remember, you're still going to be you on vacation. If you are sad where you are, and then you get on a plane to Italy, to you in Italy will be the same sad you from before, just in a new place. Does that make sense? I want to be very clear about what we can do for you. We can take you on a hike. We cannot turn you into someone who likes hiking. We can take you to the Italian Riviera. We cannot make you feel comfortable in a bathing suit. We can provide the zip line. We cannot give you the ability to say we and mean it.
That's great. Well done.
It's the first time I laughed out loud during SNL in a while. I love the Sandler family reunion.
So where they had everybody from all the movies. You know, like, so you realize all these characters, even like Little Nicky, is a family member, and they're all everyone's talking like that, doing the hand thing, and you know, it's everybody in the family.
Okay. So is he, does he have a movie coming out or something? Is he promoting something? Because usually,
yes.
Yeah, he's got that Jennifer Aniston movie on Netflix that's coming out.
Yep. Okay. He brought back Opera Man during SNL, and he was making fun of somebody. Long Shot. He was like, oh, funny guy and hot woman. Nobody's done this before. And then it shot up all of his movies with Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
Kate Beckinsale and everything like that.
All right. And then apparently he did a tribute to Chris Farley, right?
Yes, at the end of it. And I thought it was great. And somebody had pointed out that he had actually written this and done it. He had a Netflix special. And I saw most of it. I didn't see this in that special. But I just thought it was super touching, and it was a great reaction to
it. I'm looking at, I haven't heard this yet. Nick has pulled up the video, so he's standing there on the mic with his guitar singing, and they have a monitor off to his right, and it's a lot of bits. It's clips from Chris Farley from SNL. So let's listen to it. It's 4.5 minutes long. I won't listen to the whole thing, but I do want to check some of this out.
First time I saw me was sweeter than honey. Plaid jacket and belt too tight, and he wasn't even being funny. Then he cartwheeled around the room and slow danced with a cleaning lady. He was a one-man party. You know I'm talking about my friend Chris Farley. On Saturday night, my man would always deliver. Whether he was the bumblebee girl or living in a van down by the river. He loved the Bears and did good dance at Chippendales with Swayze. When they replaced his coffee with Folgers, he went full on crazy. The sexiest gap girl and meatloaf in the band. Without him, there'd be no lunch lady in lunch lady land. You know I'm thinking about my boy Chris Farley. After a show, but hungover as hell, that Catholic boy always showed up to morning mass. We'd tell him, slow down, you'll end up like Belushi and Candy. Said, those guys are my heroes, that's all fine and dandy. I ain't making that stuff up, that's the truth about my boy, Chris Farley. I saw him in the office crying with his headphones on, listening to a Casey and the Sunshine Band song. I said, buddy, how the hell is that making you so sad? Then he laughed and said, just thinking about my dad. The last big hang we had was at Timmy Meadows' wedding party. We laughed all night long, all because of Farley. But a few months later, the party came to an end. We flew out to Madison to bury our friend. Nothing was harder than saying goodbye, except watching Chris's father have his turn to cry. Hey, buddy, last moved on, but you still bring us so much joy. Make my kids laugh with your YouTube clips, old Tommy boy. Yeah. And when they ask me who's the funniest guy I ever knew, I
tell them hands down without a doubt it's you. Yeah, I miss hanging out, watching you try to get laid. But most of all, I miss watching you torture Spade. You're a legend like you wanted, but I still wish you were here with me. And we were getting on a plane to go shoot Grown Ups 3. Yeah, life ain't the same without you, boy. And that's what I'm singing about. I'm singing about my boy Chris Farley. And if we make enough noise, maybe he'll hear us. Give it up for the great Chris Farley.
All right, well, we had to play the whole thing.
Yeah,
actually.
No.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Actually, I'm getting a little choked up, to be honest.
And he took a few extra strums on the guitar after the father line, because he's, you know, Sandler's very close to his dad, and so he had to step away and collect himself.
Oh, man.
But I don't know how more, you know, heartfelt you could be. Yeah. You know, it's just wonderful.
Did you ever see, you know, one of those, I guess, exposés about his life and stuff? It was, in fact, they had that one very well-done special. His brother was a big part of it.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I felt really bad for him.
So did I.
You know?
Yeah. A guy who is a great friend and, you know, a complex guy who had demons, you know, and just, kind of captured in the song.
I think he was, from watching that special, it seemed like he was afraid to be himself.
Yes.
Around people, you know, except for maybe those few really intimate friends that he might have had, but he couldn't. He was embarrassed of himself. And not just his weight, but, socially was awkward. And
always felt that he had to perform.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's sad.
I actually watched it last night because of this Sandler SNL. And, yeah, there was moments when he just wanted to, like, be part of the gang. He wasn't a writer, but anytime anyone was writing, he would run in and say, like, oh, can I be in that sketch?
Right.
Like, can I just be in the background?
Yeah.
Like, he just wanted to belong and be part of it.
Right.
He was very humble about his own success.
Wow. Tommy Boy, still. I gotta watch it when it's on.
You can't.
It's one of the best.
You can't pass it by.
Your brain has the shell on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a lot of people texting in, crying now because of that. So didn't mean to make you do that. But once he got into the first few lines, because, I mean, all the things he's talking about
are true.
They're true. And also, you kind of, Chris Farley, Adam Sandler, you know them from so many movies and everything. You kind of feel like a part of their lives, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit.
If you talk about being at the core, even at this point, like talking about Sandler's kids, you know, watching Tommy Boy and watching clips of Farley, you know, it's a big thing. I mean, he lives on.
Okay. Anyhow, we got to take a quick break, so we'll do that very thing, but not before we give away Primo Hogan.
Yes!
$50 gift card to Primo today. By the way, is Hoagie Day. Is there something official I'm supposed to say about Hoagie? So we want to thank them. They're celebrating National Hoagie Day with $5.99 Primo size Italian turkey and cheese or ham and cheese hoagies all day. For rewards members, so visit PrimoHoagies.com for details. $50 gift card. Caller number 12, George, 215-263-WMMR. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Breaking news.
The news is breaking.
Yeah!
There's a new baby in the royal family. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry welcomed a baby boy. So they have a new one. And the baby's name has not yet been announced. And if the couple follow in the footsteps of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, we could be waiting for a couple of days before we find that out.
The big money is on Pud.
Oh. Pud.
Yeah. That's what they're saying. Apparently there was a Duke Pud.
Okay.
In the family history.
Sure.
What's the full name?
Puddins.
So the baby will Pud will grow up at Frogmore Cottage.
which has undergone a huge renovation in preparation for the new baby on the way. So we'll have more information tomorrow, my entertainment report, which is one of the first things we do in the morning. So we'll make sure that we tell you all about Baby Pud and what the Duchess and Duke, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex have to say about that. So nice job.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is that we've learned about this before Thomas Markle, the grandfather, has learned about it, I will guarantee you.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's get into it. I got some stories to share with you. We'll begin with this. An eye surgeon is being sued by a patient who claims that he operated on the wrong eye.
Uh-oh.
Then he tried to fix his mistake by operating on the correct eye without giving her any anesthesia.
Jeez. Not a good eye surgeon.
Sutton Dryfault said that she went to Dr. Benjamin Tico at the Eye Specialists Center in Chicago, Illinois, to get her lazy eye fixed and confirmed that he would be operating on her left eye. Dryfault said that when she woke up in the recovery room, she realized he had performed the surgery on her right eye instead. When Tico came in the recovery room, he was informed of his mistake and asked a nurse to hold Dryfault down while he performed the surgery on her left eye.
Hold her down.
Exactly. She's going to bump.
Come on, yeah, hold her down. Sit on her chest. Punch her in the face.
Dryfault said in a statement, I was awake during the second surgery. I could feel the needle going in my eye,
The
scissors he was using, and smell the cautery burning my eye.
Shut up.
Dryfault said.
Stop screaming. I'm an eye surgeon. Shut up.
Dryfault says that Tico conducted the second surgery using instruments from the surgical tray of a previous patient and did not wear gloves during the procedure. She screamed for him to stop, but Tico continued to operate on her eye.
How I'm trying to fix it.
Insane is this story. Her lawsuit also accused Tico. Listen to this. It gets worse. Accused Tico of altering the consent forms following the surgery. He allegedly crossed out the word left and replaced it with the word right.
Oh, my God.
And then had her mother initial the form.
Wow.
This guy graduated high school and college and med school.
He had a 50-50 chance of getting it right.
Dryfault is seeking unspecified damages and says that she continues to suffer from headaches and double vision following the two surgeries.
Does she have two lazy eyes now or two really excited eyes?
Two of them.
Two of them.
Yeah. A 28-year-old man cracked his neck and nearly lost his life after he suffered a major stroke. Josh Hader ended up at the Mercy Hospital in Oklahoma City after tearing his vertebral artery, which leads to the brain. His wife, according to Dr. Vance McCullum of Mercy Hospital, said his wife had been telling him, don't pop your neck. You're going to cause a stroke.
I've seen people do this.
I've known many people who've done that.
I always considered it to be something really freaky looking.
I always thought it was pretty stupid, to be honest. But that's what happened. Cracking your neck or having it manipulated can carry a risk of stroke. It places the vertebral artery in a precarious position, prone for injury. Studies have shown a correlation between increased risk of stroke and people who get their necks manipulated. Hader was on the younger side to experience a stroke, but cracking his neck likely led to one because a tear in the lining of the artery caused an obstruction of blood to flow to the brain.
Wow.
Hader's been recovering from the stroke, which left him wearing an eye patch because of an injured nerve and using a walker for several days. He also, listen to this, he also had the hiccups for a week and a half. And they think that had something to do with
it. I'll take the hiccups over a stroke.
The moment I heard a pop, he said, everything on my left side started to go numb. I got up and tried to get an ice pack from the fridge, and I remember I couldn't walk straight.
See, I'm totally fine with doing my own eye surgery, but not this.
As his symptoms developed, Hader's father-in-law ultimately brought him to the emergency room where he was treated. Wow, messed up. Case, can I do one more? Or are we out of time?
We're out of time.
I'm sorry. My fault. I apologize. Sorry I'm so short on that. But for being so good, I'll give you a hand and stone massage and facial spa. How about that?
They're so good.
It's a gift card for Mother's Day. Yeah, Kasia just gave you it.
Kasia's amazing.
A massage. You can make mom glow with a gift card at Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. If you buy a Mother's Day gift package, you get a free massage or facial gift card to use as a gift or for yourself. Visit handandstone.com for details, or you can be caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will set you up with that right now. We're going to take a break. I think I still got more hoagie stuff to give away. I'm not 100% sure. I'll check on that, but it's a hoagie day from our friends at Primo Hoagies as well. They got some specials going on, $5.99 Primo, a Primo-sized Italian turkey and cheese, or ham and cheese hoagies all day. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I would like to wish a happy birthday to a family member of WMMR. He's been here way longer than us and has had his hands in all kinds of stuff. Here, as far as programming goes and the things that you hear, one of our very good friends, Mr. Kevin Gunn.
It's Kevin's birthday?
Has his birthday today.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Marissa told me that, so I didn't know it either. So happy birthday to Gunner, one of the most beloved individuals to ever walk the halls here at WMMR. So he's a big part of what goes on. So happy birthday, Gunner. We're going to do a lesson question, and we are going to give away, let me see what we have here, a family four-pack, actually,
ooh,
of Maury's Pier's water park passes. So my son was just at Maury's over the weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, went down there.
They had a big wedding there. Was he at the wedding by any chance?
No, he was there for, they had a big color guard competition and drumline competition this weekend. So he was there.
Nice.
And I'm like, did you go by Maury's? He's like, yeah, I went over there and, you know, played some games and stuff like that.
How could you not?
So, yeah, exactly. So that's what we're going to give away. And you can enjoy both beachfront water parks. So the question, I mean, I could go way back, but how can I not ask this? Vegas put the best odds on the new royal baby being named what? I mean, we just said it 10 minutes ago. 215-263-WMMR. But every now and then you get a gift, because the idea behind the lesson question is to see if you've been listening all morning long.
Yes.
And sometimes we throw you a gimme. So Vegas put the best odds on the new royal baby being named what? 215-263-WMMR. Call now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
This morning is brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. Rita's most popular flavor of Italian ice is the delicious and fruity mango. Enjoy mango ice and so many different frozen treats at Rita's. You can't mango wrong.
What they did.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, the dust still not settled over Maximum Security being disqualified as winner of the Kentucky Derby after a replay showed interference with the second place horse, Country House. Maximum Security was later seen at a Louisville bar with what was described as a long face.
Oh my God.
A better time to use no joke.
Yes.
Kim Kardashian's lawsuit against a clothing company, Misguided USA, inadvertently revealing that she gets $1 million per Instagram post. Now, Kim says, while it may seem like an obscene amount of money, there's always a risk that she might smudge her phone.
Hey!
And finally, Justin Bieber coming to the support of Chris Brown, saying people should treat his history of violence towards women as they do Michael Jackson's alleged history of molestation. In a related story, Bieber is seriously reconsidering plans to become a defense lawyer.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. We shall see. If you were listening 10 minutes ago, Vegas puts the best odds on the new royal baby being named what? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Brad, see if he can answer it. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, buddy. What are the odds have the baby's name being?
Pud.
Hang on, Brad. We got you. Set you up with a four-pack, family four-pack, Maury's Pier's water park passes. You can enjoy both beachfront water parks. Check out this week's big friggin' deal from Maury's Pier's. You can get a same-day ride and water park combo ticket for $40.
And that's access to all three piers and both water parks. So get it now through Sunday at WMMR.com. The keyword to use is deal.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, brought to you by Dietz & Watson Real Philly Deli. Want to know Philly's best-kept hoagie secrets? Pick up Dietz & Watson's Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide, a map of the best delis in the city. Earn prizes like T-shirts, coolers, food, and even birds tickets just for eating Real Philly Hoagies. I got a few things to run by you today. We'll start with this. Shinedown has released a new piano version of the band's anthemic single, Get Up, which has become a crossover hit. It's actually about to break into the top 30.
Really?
At what's called Hot Adult Contemporary Radio after spending several weeks at number one on the rock chart. Yeah, this it's a great song.
It is. It's maybe my favorite Shinedown song.
I think so, too, Steve. The song has racked up more than 36 million streams. We're going to play this, a little bit of the piano version. Go ahead, sure.
I know you're clinging to the light of day to tell you everything's A-OK.
Song's racked up more than 36 million streams.
Medication don't do.
Landed the band on Live with Kelly and Ryan and was heard during the Super Bowl pregame show, among other television spots. Get Up has also given the band the most top 10 songs on the rock airplay charts, as well as their 13th number one.
Good for them, man.
On Billboard's mainstream rock songs chart, tied with Van Halen and behind only 3 Days Grace. So, yeah, they're doing great, man. And they'll be at the MM Barbecue. They love Philadelphia.
And we love them.
And they love MMR. And, yeah, and we definitely love these guys, too. So, new version of that song. Pretty cool. Jack White can now add doctor to his resume.
Oh, my God. He's a gynecologist?
Alongside singer, songwriter, guitarist, label head, actor, and upholsterer. White received an honorary doctorate degree from Wayne State University, located in his hometown of Detroit, on Friday morning during the school's commencement ceremony.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
The university bestowed the degree. The White Stripes and Raconteurs frontman for his dedication to Detroit and his contributions to the arts. His mother attended the ceremony. White
That's my son!
Oh, geez.
Mom!
White received his doctorate alongside two fellow honorees, Weight Watchers CEO Florine Mark.
What?
And social activist Earl Lewis. What?
No, go ahead. No.
You got a joke?
Nope.
Okay. You will head out on tour with the Raconteurs.
Let's get Weight Watchers chick up first. Then we'll get on to the real people.
Later this month, as the band prepares for the arrival of its long-awaited new album, which is called Help Us Stranger. It's coming up. No? Okay.
Nothing?
Doctor?
KG Elephant and Beck have released the retro music video for their collaborative single called Night Running off KG Elephant's new LP, Social Cues. The clip, which stars Beck and the band singer Matt Schultz, uses antiquated video technology and decades-old special effects to tell a sci-fi story. I haven't seen this yet. I'm interested. I'm intrigued that they're using this older equipment. Director Jennifer Juniper Stratford.
Who?
Jennifer
Juniper Stratford?
Said, for Night Running, I wanted to create a realm where a supercomputer hosts a simulation program that creates a series of artificial worlds. While Beck would appear to live within the software as a master control, Matt would be transported to different worlds and new identities, leaving him to question what is real. And the video effects were created, she said, in my analog video lab using outmoded and obsolete video equipment cast off from post-digital apocalypse.
So a little Max Headroomy.
Yeah, Beck and KG Elephant are going to team up this summer for an extensive co-headlining night running tour. They will be in Philadelphia. Incubus has announced that it will celebrate the 20th anniversary of its double platinum 1999 breakthrough album, Make Yourself
this year with a new merch line as well as a special pop-up shop in Los Angeles. Although the band has apparently been mulling the idea on tour to mark the occasion, but nothing has been officially confirmed as of yet.
I believe we'll have some Incubus news when we cross over with Pierre.
Yahoo! That's good.
They're adding new merch to their stuff?
Commemoration of this this anniversary. There was some Jersey power generating the stage on Saturday night during the Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul show in Los Angeles at the Saban Theater. During the encores of Steve Van Zandt's show, he welcomed Bruce Springsteen for a three-song set.
Wow.
How cool is that? They did 10th Avenue Freeze Out. They did Van Zandt's classic Southside Johnny giveaway, I Don't Want to Go Home, and his anti-apartheid anthem, Sun City, which marks the first time that the pair performed that song since the E Street Band's 2014 gig in Cape Town, South Africa. So, hell of a surprise for those who showed up.
Surprise!
To see it's Little Steven. He comes out and just says that on stage.
Surprise!
It's Bruce, everybody. One last story. Pink Floyd drummer Nick Mason is the second member of the band to receive a royal honor. On May 2nd, Mason received his CBE, or Commander of the British Empire, an honorary title that ranks just below Knight.
But it's Dave Mason.
Nick Mason.
Oh, dear.
David Gilmour, by the way, was awarded the CBE back in 2003.
I'm terribly sorry. There seems to be a cross-communication.
Mason, who is the sole member to have been in every single different lineup of Pink Floyd since its formation in 1965.
That's true.
Spoke about chatting with Prince William, who presented him with the honor at Buckingham Palace. He explained that he and the Duke of Cambridge, who served as an air ambulance helicopter pilot, had a few things in common. He said what was quite nice was I've met him very briefly before, and one thing we do share is flying helicopters.
Hmm.
He said, cars are my thing. Originally, when they told me I got this award, they said it was for music. I thought they were going to say it's for services to the used car trade. But if you fly helicopters, there's always a whole bunch of things that you end up talking about. So that's what they chatted about.
This is a pleasure to meet you and to see you. You must be aware of the fact you mean nothing to me.
Wow. I think I listened to The Wall open to close for the first time in my life on Friday night.
Because
I know
that's a commitment.
I know for a fact that I listened to Dark Side of the Moon front to back. That was the one that you would do with
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, right?
Yeah. On the Lion's Third Roar.
Third Roar, right?
Yeah. You do The Wall to Child's Play.
I had to drive down the shore on Friday night, and I listened to Dark Side followed by The Wall, and that was my entire ride down to the shore.
Have you ever seen the movie The Wall?
No.
It's excellent.
No. But
I'm a big fan.
I did see the concert, The Wall.
Yeah. At The Wall?
At The Wall.
Not in front of a wall.
No. Citizens Bank Park.
Oh, okay, because they do have... Oh, that's right. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Right. But there is an actual film documentary of the concert that they did when they tore down The Wall.
I've seen... I've seen The Wall, but not the whole thing. The animated movie?
Yes.
With the walking Hallers and everything like
Parker's
that?
Parker's film.
Yeah, just parts of it are animated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of it's live action. that's a journey. It's a masterpiece, man. My son was supposed to listen to it this weekend, Carter, because he was taking a bus trip down to Wildwood.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what, I'm gonna find, because he downloaded it a while back. We were watching the performance on TV of The Wall, and he's like, what is this? And I was like, oh, well, dude, step right up, let me tell you.
Pretty freaking amazing.
And so he's going to spend some time with it. It is pretty incredible. Okay, that is it. That's music news. I have one last giveaway to do. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. So let's take caller number 22 at 215-263-WMMR to get a free gift card for a massage or a facial for mom. And this
get one for yourself.
Here's the deal. You can make mom glow with a gift card to Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Buy a Mother's Day spa package. You get a free massage or facial gift card to use as a gift for someone else or for yourself. And you can do that through hannahandstone.com. Get the details there. But we'll take the 22nd call and we'll set you up at that 215-263-WMMR. We're taking one last break. Coming back to wrap it up and move things along with Pierre. That'll be next. Stay with us.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram presents MMR's Mudder's Day 2019. Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, Saturday, May 11th. $15 per Jeep gets you in and a go at the custom dirt obstacle courses and mud pits.
Join us for another great day with our Jeeps in the dirt and mud. Plenty of room for spectators, too, with free parking. There'll be hundreds of Jeeps on site, Jeep parts to win, and you can even score MMRBQ tickets. Plus, cool vendors and food trucks, including Two Street Sammy's and DHY Motorsports.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. At 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Monday morning. Monday is kind of a demon in and of itself, but
it's been a weird one, hasn't it?
We've been exercising it this morning. Yeah,
excising and exercising. Yeah, I think so. They both are applicable.
Yeah, I think so. But I've had some kind of speech demon today. I haven't been able to get the words out properly.
I've had a brain demon.
Time. Really?
It's rendered me more dumb than I usually am.
A little bit of a fog, or
I don't know. I think it's. I've been very proactive in my heroin use, and I think that's...
You've been stepping up your game?
Yeah, and I think that's affecting my on-air performance.
Yeah, it might. Nonetheless, it has been fun today. Let me see here. I guess I should... I would like to thank our friends at Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa.
Yeah! Oh, man, what a joy it is to have them here.
Yeah, Kasha and Jake came by. Kasha from the Northeast Philly location and Feasterville locations, and Jake works in Marlton and Voorhees. And so we have massages all around for not only us, but other staff members here at WMMR. So it was cool having by those guys by. And also thank you to Primo Hoagies for coming by today. Mm-hmm. It's today's National Hoagie Day, and they have a special, and you can swing by. They have $5.99 Primo size Italian, turkey and cheese, or ham and cheese hoagies all day for rewards members. You can visit primohoagies.com for details. So thank you guys for coming by and give us giving us the giveaways as well. Let me see what we need to do. Letter of the day, right?
Yes, Pierre is here.
Oh, he is?
Here.
Yes.
All right.
And yay! Here. Back from Africa. Yep. Just like to give you a good history.
Yeah, why not? How was your weekend, man?
Choo-choo.
Yeah, choo-choo is exactly what you want to hear when you ask, how was your weekend?
Thank you.
I did a lot of paperwork yesterday. I stayed inside all day and did paperwork.
Really?
Good day to do it.
It was a good day to do it.
Yeah.
It was not a good day to be out yesterday. Did the race go on?
No, it did not. It's happening today, and so some of our listeners are heading down there now or have already arrived. But Casey and I were there yesterday, and they tried. They tried their best to get it in, but the track needs to be perfectly dry in order for them to do the race. I actually called Brent Porsche on the way down because he's a huge NASCAR fan.
Right.
He was going to go, and he was explaining to me some of the intricacies of making this race happen, and the conditions just weren't going to allow for it yesterday. So no race yesterday, but today is a perfect day for it.
It is so beautiful out.
I love it.
You guys have got to get out immediately. You have no meetings whatsoever today.
They've been called off.
They've been called off. I was just informed by me that they've been called off. So
awesome.
You're allowed to leave and go out and play on this pretty day.
Thank you.
It's so nice. I say this at this time of year, just so people notice, look how green the trees are.
It's gorgeous.
I know. But that first green, that first couple of weeks of green, it's got this glow to it. It's like a psychedelic glow.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've done those. But I can tell you.
It's similar.
Well, it just, they glow.
They're freaking glowing.
They're glowing.
No, so there's a vibrant new, it's amazing how quickly it goes from sparse to lush.
Yes. And you think it's never going to happen.
Yep.
You think they could never come back from that barren thing.
And then Mother Nature falcon punches you. Yeah, no, it's gorgeous.
I mean, and they're just exploding with color. So
yeah, I noticed that, on Saturday, I was looking around too. I'm like, things have really filled out. And it's here. It's wonderful.
It is.
A beautiful thing. All right, shall we do? We have another trip here. Are you ready to make these letters count?
Hell yeah.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter P.
is in PUD.
Yes.
Well done.
A word not used enough. But now that the royal baby is named PUD, yes, we're going to hear it all the time. We'll be tired of it next week.
That huge Paul Newman film, PUD.
All right. We're going to give away a trip for two to the world premiere of Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yes! Wow.
Saturday, May 18th at the TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood, California. Yay.
Wait, stop. Mm-hmm. Do you know how cool that is?
It's phenomenal.
Do you know how cool a prize that is?
Godzilla King of Monsters opens May 31st, rated PG-13. Yeah, not that long ago, we ran into somebody who went out to a premiere. It was for Bumblebee, actually, and she was going on about how great it was and the wonderful hotel and just where, you know, how they were taken care of and everything.
And the stars.
And then ran into Wallace Shawn in the lobby.
Yes.
Wow. Too. So she didn't remember his name.
The gift that keeps on giving.
I'm telling you. But anyhow, these trips are great. Going to California anytime is awesome. So we'll have that to give away on Friday, and then you're on your way on May 18th. Should be pretty cool.
Yes, one of these experiential things that you cannot buy, but it will it'll blow your mind.
What is happening on your show today, man?
Well, what we were going to announce at this time, we're now going to announce at noon. So I have a little announcement, a concert announcement coming at noon.
So we have to vamp until noon?
Yes, so if we can, if each of you could just sing a little and Preston can do some drumming.
Sure.
And then we'll be ready to go by noon. And then, we got that going at noon, and we'll have a workforce block corresponding to that. We also have workforce blocks of Black Sabbath in honor of Bill Ward, the drummer, his birthday yesterday. And Bob Seger is 74 today, so we'll do a workforce block as well.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Spend your day with Pierre. Beautiful day like this. Perfect time to hang out with him. I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Also brought to you by Chorus Photography, the official photographers of the Preston and Steve Show. Armor Metals and Recycling for all of your metal and computer recycling needs. And A.D. Moyer, celebrating 80 years of supplying quality building materials and service. Tomorrow, as of now, we just have Tattoos Day on tap, so we'll have a chance to win a $350 gift card to world-famous Eddie's Tattoo. And I'm sure we'll fill in the blanks with a bunch of other stuff. So that is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
So you're already late for work, and then the scoop goes to the parking lot, and then you get behind some dude taking out a mortgage at the Mac machine, and then you get behind a landscaping truck loaded down with wheelbarrows. Just like people.
Next message.
I would just like to say on this fine, fine day that I love myself. I'm the best. I've always been the best, and I'm always going to be the best. I am the El Fuego of all that is El Fuego.
Next message.
Who the f*** brings a child to go see Endgame at 9 o'clock on a school night? I waited a goddamn week to see this movie without a little baby son of a bitch screaming the entire time.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.